Hey, what's poppin'? It's the Wednesday show, the Drew and Mike show in the DealsInTheD.com studios. And we're all bitching and moaning because Rolling Stone has updated their top 500 albums. Nobody's happy.
That's the way it works.
Sure seems like there's a lot of female voters this time.
How dare they?
It just seems the composition has changed remarkably. And I would say the loser is the white male, which isn't surprising, but the white male bands were definite losers, judging from the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and a few others. But, yeah, we'll run down the top 100 or so, I guess. And there's plenty else to talk about. Coronavirus hit 200,000. USA Today, I thought, a very interesting poll today. Very interesting. And Vanessa Bryant and Cardi B look like they're going to be spending some time in court. And, of course, RBG. Oh, RBG, how could you do it to us? Life wasn't a big enough mess without RBG dying and insanity.
I'm going to guess she didn't want to die.
I don't know. She could be a rabble-rouser. It's really funny how now her deathbed wish was that they don't pick a justice until after the election, which is really, was that really your deathbed wish? I mean, of all the things that could be important to her?
I don't know.
Her lawyer granddaughter dictated it, yes.
And then also...
But I love that we're all just so cynical. Or there's a lot of people out there like, that wasn't her deathbed wish. And if it was, what a stupid deathbed wish.
Well,
it's like, how were we to say? Yeah, it's stupid, but who cares?
I just would think it would be... You would be something related to your friends and family as opposed to the composition of the Supreme Court. But, you know, if you're Supreme Court Justice, that's a pretty intense deal. Anyway, the childishness going on, it's so fun. It's like five-year-olds are fighting over this.
What else is new?
Not much. But, you know, now it's, if you do that, then we're going to pack the court. And then what happens? The Republicans win, and they pack the court.
Yes.
And the Dems, they pack the court. And eventually, we have 101 Supreme Court justices.
That's what I was telling you yesterday. We'll have an actual star chamber of 100 people.
Now, I thought when you and I talked about it yesterday, I said, you know, the only people that seem to have any objectivity whatsoever are the two female senators who are saying, well, let's, and they're Republicans, and they're saying, let's let the election decide. And then, as you pointed out, they're really more worried about re-election.
Of course.
If they are part of voting for this justice. Who's going to be, isn't she going to be from Michigan, it sounds like?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought I heard that before I came down. Hmm. And she's got 7 kids.
Oh, that one, yeah. The one, yeah, went to Notre Dame or taught at Notre Dame.
But it sounds like there's a couple areas they're going to pick into.
You mean the cult that she belongs
to? Yeah, she's in a cult. She's in a religious cult.
Was it the Praise the People one?
I think they've renamed it.
I know them all too well, which is kind of interesting.
And Brandon, in his prep pad today, the little story, which I want a friend's accountant so bad.
What story?
To find out, George Stephanopoulos says he got a phone call at dinner telling him, George, we need you to do a report. You can call in, whatever. RBG has died. And George said that he paused on delivering this to Allie Wentworth, his wife, and his two kids because he didn't want them to, you know, fall apart. And then he did his report. And then afterwards, he and Allie weeped. In the car for 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Were the kids playing on their phones the whole time?
Not a good use of time.
I refuse to believe the kids cried for 45 minutes or at all.
The kids didn't cry at all. I don't even think they cried at all. Wait,
did her daughter cry for 45 minutes?
No. Nobody cried for 45 minutes.
Why is he acting like he cried for a fucking Jackson?
Well, she's just a little guy.
It's kind of funny because she's the one that told the story, and I kind of wonder if he's stomping around at the house going, I ain't not crying for 45 minutes, damn it. He's all mad about it.
Oh, I would be livid.
Yeah, if your wife said that on national TV, yeah.
45, weeped for 45 minutes?
It's ridiculous.
45 minutes.
For 45 minutes?
Yeah, for 45 minutes. About 45 minutes.
And now, of course, they're hitting Joe Biden up on, what about packing the Supreme Court? And he won't answer because he says, that's Trump's trying to change the subject. But what does packing the court have to do with the subject?
I don't know. I don't know.
Trump didn't say to pack the court. And Joe Biden's...
more politics.
The fact of the matter is the Democrats,
there it is.
They won't have the balls to do it anyway. So it's an empty threat.
Pack the court. I mean, whatever. It's all so stupid. I guess the is it Jill Biden's first husband says he's not voting for Joe Biden.
Oh wow, I'm shocked.
And he it's wants funny. Him. He wants him to come clean on this. We had a blind date. We fell in love, and it was all right on.
Don't hold your breath, my man.
Because he says Joe was banging Jill while he was raising money for Joe.
I love that he's the ultimate one-issue voter. It's one issue that only affects him. That's the only
Did
issue.
Did you bang my wife?
Only issue he's voting for.
I can't believe this guy really wants attention at this point in time. Really? Does he really want? I mean, hasn't he moved on with his life? You'd think he'd be.
He's got a book coming out. I want to read the book
right.
about all
that's
the
right.
bands that played in his bar.
I forgot. You're right. The book is going to be great. He owned a club. He had some huge, important artists play
Sounds
there.
Interesting.
So since 2017, the Hope Not Handcuffs program has helped 4,600 people get the help and resources they may not have gotten otherwise. If you're struggling with a substance abuse disorder or addiction, whether it be heroin, painkillers, cocaine, alcohol, you can go into one of 100 participating police locations and ask for help with no fear of being arrested. You will be treated with compassion, or if it's someone you know, and they will call a volunteer angel who will come to the police department and assist with paperwork and making calls to get this person placed into treatment as soon as possible, that day, hopefully. The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. There is hope. Go to HopeNotHandcuffs.com to learn more and make the step towards recovery, and they've got all the locations at HopeNotHandcuffs.com. Mm-hmm. And I also need to mention Dr. Yaldo and the exciting return to the Yaldo Eye Center, where people are showing up and they're getting $1,500 off, whether it's LASIK they want or multifocal lens replacement. And they're bringing friends and they're talking their friends into doing it. And they don't even get examined. They just put the friend in the chair. They get the LASIK. You get half off. Yaldo goes along with it. No, I'm totally kidding. But if you do bring a friend who gets this done, you will get half off your surgery, in addition to $1,500 off. So how cool is that? Multifocal lens replacement will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. And LASIK is the most precise, the topography-guided LASIK, the most precise in the world, allows you to throw away your contacts and garbage, in the glasses in the garbage. And then you'll save money and all that stuff, and hopefully you'll come out ahead on the deal, and you'll have great vision. So there. Should I get the top 100 albums out of the way? This is really in my craw.
Sure. No, I know. It's been bothering you all day.
It wasn't really bothering me until I got the last 100. I smelled it coming, though. I felt it.
Gross.
I was like, this is not going to be the Beatles' year. And I saw that the Stones records weren't coming up. I'm like, well, maybe they're on the top 100.
I mean, the Beatles.
So Rolling Stone did this in 2000.
Sorry,
three, and now they're just updating it?
They updated in 2012, too, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think 2012, they changed it very much. I think this one, I'd like to compare 2003 to this because I think it's a lot of changes.
Well, in 2003, was it just their snobby editors? Because now what, they've asked 300 artists and producers and critics?
No, they had a lot of people like okay. that. I just think they packed, I think they've stacked the deck with women. I think they've stacked the deck with some other people. I think they've taken some people off the deck who probably... What I mean, it's just a list.
No one cares about the whites.
But they said that
the white
people are just under attack everywhere you look.
Have the white people put out any music lately?
Well, but they're considered classic albums, whether they put them out now or when they put them out then. That's not the
step
point.
Up your game, whites.
So basically, anyone that falls, it hasn't aged well. Any album that has gone from
there's stuff that doesn't age well for whatever reason. You know who I didn't see on the list at all is John Mellencamp. Did his music not age well? I kind of like his music.
That's a good question. You think Little Pink Houses would age very well, considering the message behind it.
I just would think a couple of those records of his. Yeah. And I can't say that for sure, but I don't think I saw his name on here. Anyway, okay, I'll start at 99. Taylor Swift, yeah, sure, Red.
Great.
Then at 98, this is...
I mean, could you even tell, like, what album that is and what's on there? I mean,
I couldn't. I mean, I'm sure it's sold a lot. I don't really argue with Taylor Swift. I know she's extremely popular and has been for a long time, so it's not my music, but I realize I expect her to do well in something like this. Yeah. Now, what I don't understand, in fact, when I saw number 98, I said, okay, it's official. This thing is stacked with women. Lucinda Williams.
Well, who's that?
Number 98. She's kind of a country. She's a cool chick.
You can have her.
But 98 for Wheels on Gravel.
Who's that broad?
Wheels on a Gravel Road?
Terrible. I mean,
is that something
Terrible.
Everybody's playing these days?
No.
I don't think it was popular when it came out. And I know she's a critical fave.
I've never heard of her.
She's worked with a number of people, and she's well-respected. But 98 of all the out 97, Metallica, Master of Puppets.
Sweet.
96, R.E.M., Automatic for the People, which is not my favorite R.E.M. album. I don't know why that one always... I mean, it must. Everybody else must like it. Drake.
Gross.
Take Care.
You shouldn't be on any list 95. For anything ever, other than apologizing to Kanye.
The Stooges, Funhouse at 94, which... The Stooges are always so critically acclaimed. I think they're great. I just don't know that they're that great. Missy Elliott at 93. Super Duper Fly.
So it was a pretty big album.
Yeah, I think it was
big album.
I don't know 93. But.
Yeah. Hendrix, Axis, Bold as Love at 92. Bruce Springsteen, Darkness on the Edge of Town, 91. Neil Young, After the Gold Rush, 90. Great album. I love that record. Erykah Badu, Baduism.
Badu. Mm-hmm.
That's bigger than Born to Run.
I don't like either album.
On the Edge of Town.
You're asking the wrong guy there.
After the Gold Rush, Axis, Bold as Love. Really? Is Erykah Badu? I mean, is she that big? I really don't know.
Not anymore, no. I mean,
was it a big record when it came out? I don't remember it. Maybe it was.
I don't know.
Bowie, Hunky Dory, Miles Davis, Bitches Brew.
I'm kind of surprised it's that low, to tell you the truth, because people rave about that album. To me, it's like two tracks that just go on forever and ever and ever, if you've ever listened to it.
Which, Erykah Badu?
No, Miles Davis.
Oh, Miles Davis.
Because it's jazz?
Yeah, Miles Davis seems to have done really well in this particular scene.
Pee in Your Pants is cool. Do we have that drop from...
No, for some reason, I just searched for it. We do.
We have no more Politrix.
There's Miles Davis.
This is his early days, though.
He's so refining, but it's edgy. It's, you know, warts and all.
It's number 87, yeah.
85, Doors, The Doors, which is their best record, the first one. 85, I'm reluctant to say this, but John Lennon, Plastic Ono Band. I never thought it was a top 100 record. I prefer Imagine It, and I prefer All Things Must Pass. I can't believe All Things Must Pass by George Harrison. It doesn't rate higher than Plastic Ono Band. But anyway, John Lennon.
Imagine was 223.
It was. Lennon is a critical fave for whatever reason, and I love John Lennon. So
it smells, yeah.
AC/DC, Back in Black, fuck you. Dusty in Memphis.
I'm surprised Back in Black's that low.
I like that album.
Dusty.
Like front to finish. I love listening to the whole thing.
Dusty Springfield, I realize she's great. She was a lesbian before you were allowed to be a lesbian, and she lived a very hard life, and she had problems with alcohol and stuff. But is Dusty in Memphis the 83rd best?
No.
Really?
No, it's not. I don't even think it should be on this list. It shouldn't even be in the top 1,000.
Slime
should throw it out of his car.
I mean, I feel like they're trying to do what many people are trying to do and make the right top 100. Not the best 100, but the right 100.
You know what's so funny? I had no idea she was a lesbian until you just told me. I never knew that. I don't know why.
You want to know something? I've never heard the name Dusty Springfield until you said it about a minute and a half ago.
Wait, doesn't Tarantino use a lot of her songs?
Who?
Tarantino? Hasn't he used her
songs?
Yeah,
he has. And she's critically acclaimed. People love Dusty Springfield, even though she wasn't. She did Son of a Preacher Man was her hit record.
Yeah, there you
go. I think she might have had some country hits. I don't know. Sly and the Family Stone, there's a riot going on at 82. That is a great record. Beyonce, I'm sure it sold a zillion copies. Nevermind the Bullocks, Sex Pistols at 80. Frank Ocean, Blonde at 79.
Mark, if you're trying to Because of lag, I'm really struggling on that.
I've been doing it. Don't worry. You're fine.
Okay, thanks.
Elvis Presley, The Sun Sessions at 78. Who's Next at 77. Fantastic album. That seems kind of low to me. But Curtis Mayfield, Superfly, 76. That was a huge album in the 70s. I remember it well. Aretha Franklin, Lady Soul, 75. Kanye, College Dropout, 74.
That's his best album. I'm surprised it's...
He's got albums ahead of it.
He does?
We're not done with Kanye.
Oh, boy.
He might be the biggest winner on this list.
Really?
Honestly, yeah. My Bloody Valentine, Loveless.
Sure.
Neil Young, Harvest.
Valentine's Day sucks.
Bob Marley, Exodus. Bob Marley's got a zillion records on here, too. They all sound exactly the
really?
Same, but he's got a million. Yeah,
should
he's all
be his
over
best
this
best of
thing.
Album?
Exodus. I don't know if his best of is on here, but he's got a bunch of other ones. NWA, Straight Outta Compton at 70.
Such a good album.
Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill, 69.
That's a great album, too.
It's good.
I'll fight anyone that says it's not.
Kate Bush, Hounds of Love.
Whatever.
Bush.
Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt at 67.
Meh.
John Coltrane, A Love Supreme.
Meh.
James Brown, Live at the Apollo, 65. 64. Outkast, Stankonia. Asia, Steely Dan, 63. GNR, Appetite for Destruction. God,
bullshit.
I think that would be higher.
Bullshit. That's a top 10 album of all time.
It's got to be the top record of the 80s, I would think. Right? One of them? I mean,
you're speechless.
Two or three.
Well, thanks to the lame ass security, I'm going home.
Honestly, I'm speechless. It's that low.
I was stunned too.
That's.
It's also sold a billion copies. It's sold a billion copies. It's played everywhere to this day. It's a classic rock staple.
It's totally different when it came out.
Slash.
Has Slash on it.
This is this is one that I'm like, who? Eric B. and Rakini? Which rhymes with
Rakini. Yeah.
Rakini.
He just died, I believe.
Paid Jim's Influence, help, yeah. I think it's called. I didn't even know that. I don't know who that is. Van Morrison, Astral Weeks at 60. Stevie Wonder, Talking Book, 59. Led Zeppelin 4 at 58. Led Zeppelin 4, that's the biggest. I mean, that record sold 30 million copies, I bet.
Is that the highest they are? Is there a Zeppelin that is higher than that?
I don't think there is. Maybe, is there one higher?
Because there shouldn't be, but then I'm surprised that it's that low.
Yeah, that seems for four. Four is the one that just sold. Mm-hmm. The band, 57. Okay, this is one. Another time when I go, oh my god, there's got to be a million chicks on this list who are judging and voting. Liz Phair, Exile in Guyville, 56. 56?
Who's that broad?
I don't get it.
I mean, wouldn't you think she'd have one more album that would be, you know, in the top 10,000?
I remember when that album came out and critics raved about it, but then listened to it and was like, huh? It didn't get airplay either.
No, it didn't. It was a good record. I get it. She went to my high school, so of course.
Bloop.
I'm a fan.
Bloop.
But it's one slot below Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. Does that seem right?
Oh, my.
No.
I don't think so.
Dark Side of the Moon 10. Is 55. It's been in the top 200 ever since it came out.
I know. James Brown, Startime, 54. Jimi Hendrix, Electric Ladyland, 53. Bowie, Station to Station, 52. That's a great record. I just don't know if it's... Chuck Berry, The Last 28, is a great 28, is 51. Jay-Z, Blueprint at 50.
Yeah, that's one of his best ones, yeah.
Outkast.
By the way, a little sidebar to the Blueprint. Did you read the synopsis of it?
I did not.
When Huff isn't taking shots at record executives, cops, critics, haters, biters, and his absent dad, and still sadly using the word, quote, faggot. So I guess that's...
Didn't punish him.
If you have that many problems with it, why is it number 50?
Okay. Outkast, Aquamini.
Aquamini, yeah.
Aquamini, 49. So Outkast has two of the top 64 albums of all time? Really?
I'm
not saying they're not... I mean, I know they were huge.
I'm surprised that... I'm surprised they're rated that high.
Bob Marley, Legend at 48.
That should be his highest.
Ramones, 47. Paul Simon, Graceland, 46. Another PC album that people love because he...
That album sucks.
Nas, Illmatic at 44. Tribe Called Quest.
You skip
Prince.
Prince, Sign of the Times. Prince, great record. Sign of the Times is fantastic.
And it's Nas, not Naz.
Okay, sorry. Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory.
One of the best albums ever.
Radiohead, OK Computer,
what?
42.
That's number one. What's should wrong with
442.
This?
442.
Radiohead, by the way, turns up on the list a lot.
There's not one higher than this. I bet Kid A's higher.
Oh, it is higher. It is. Let It Bleed by the Stones, 41. Ziggy Stardust by Bowie at 40. Talking Heads Remain in Light, 39. Blonde on Blonde, Bob Dylan, 38. Dr. Dre, Chronic, 37. Did I skip something?
No.
Okay.
No.
Michael Jackson, Off the Wall, 36. Beatles, Rubber Soul, 35. Stevie Wonder, Inner Visions, 34. Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, 33.
Album. Such a good album.
Beyonce, Lemonade.
Get it out of here.
Way better 32? Than Dark Side of the Moon, yeah.
Lemonade. Ugh.
Really? Miles Davis is back, Kind of Blue, 31.
Sure.
I mean, everybody listens to that. Hendrix. Hendrix, Are You Experienced, 30. The Beatles' White Album, 29? Usually shows up in like the top 10.
Yeah, but who's better at number 28?
Oh, D'Angelo. Doo-doo.
Voodoo.
D'Angelo?
Doo-doo. He has to doo-doo. Voodoo.
D'Angelo is better than the White Album. Really?
Apparently.
Patti Smith's Horses is better than the White Album.
I had to boo-boo.
Wu-Tang Clan, I left that out. Enter the Wu-Tang Clan, 27. So that's better than the White Album, too.
That is better than the White Album.
Carole King, Tapestry, 25. I love that record. I don't know if it's 25. But it is a great record. Great record. I love
Way
Carole
better
King.
Than Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, yeah. Way better. Sgt. Pepper's fell from number one to 24. How'd that happen?
It was number one
last
time. It
was one or two or three or four. I mean, it's way up there.
Oh,
the
man.
Fuck?
That's ridiculous.
The fuck?
That's ridiculous. That's a great album.
Velvet Underground and Nico, 23. Notorious B.I.G. Ready to Die is number 22. 22nd biggest record of all time.
Big record.
One Slot Below Born to Run. Kid A by Radiohead at number 20. I'll do the top 20 right after this important word from our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, kicking off their Jeep celebration event, and it's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles then Zot Chrysler Jeep Ram has you covered. Let's start with leasing a 2020 loaded Jeep Compass. As low as $155 a month, or a new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive, as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, lease a 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4, as low as $188 a month. How about pure performance poured into an SUV that drives like a sports car? Lease a 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And you know the game, no Zot spot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. If you want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you have time to custom order a Wrangler to your perfect specs. Get details at dealsinthed.com. And Hall Financial wants you to know the mortgage rates are at a new all-time low. I couldn't believe I found a Trudy is at 2.75 yesterday. How does she have a 2.75?
I don't know. She knows people.
Guess so. That's why so many people are refinancing right now, lowering their monthly payments, maybe skipping a couple payments, putting money in their pocket every month. Low rates mean value. If you're on the market for that new home, remember Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. They also sponsor the Hall Financial Hotline. Do we have any hotline prospects today?
Nothing I'm very comfortable with.
Okay.
Nothing to ballyhoo, really.
Virtual appraisals can be done without someone even setting foot inside your home. It's not hard. People are moving homes and buying homes during this crazy COVID time. Make money by saving money. If you're at a 3.5 or above, you really should just call and at least find out. I mean, what harm is that? 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com/drewandmike or click the link on our website, fill out the online form, and boom, they get back to you in no time. NMLS number 1467435 for Hall Financial.
This list is ridiculous.
I swear, I thought it was just crazy. And I've seen their list in the past. I thought they were... And you always have complaints, but I thought it was generally pretty good.
Well, wouldn't you take the old lists and maybe update them and not just restart and redo it? Because I feel like they just redid it.
It seems to me there's a lot of movement on this list.
But I guess that's what they want.
Would you say this is one of the 19 best albums ever done? Kendrick Lamar to Pimp a Butterfly?
No, I wouldn't. I know Brandon? A lot of critics love
it. Was
it.
A big deal when it came out. I remember in 2015, 2016, everybody was talking about it. He was making the rounds. And
19th biggest deal ever, I guess.
And then he was calling girls to come on stage and sing with him. And then when they sang along with the actual lyrics, they got in trouble and reprimanded in front of 30,000 people. So, yeah, I remember.
Dylan, Highway 61 Revisited, 18. Kanye, My Beautiful Twisted Fantasy, is 17.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Kanye may have the best positions on this entire list. Clash London Calling has fallen to 16. I know it was higher. Public Enemy, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, at 15. Exile on Main Street by the Stones at 14. Aretha Franklin, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. Thriller, number 12.
The Thriller.
Revolver.
Can we both say it?
Revolver is 11. 11?
That's about right.
It's not as high as The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill at number 10. Really? Really? Are more people talking about The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill today than Revolver?
Maybe you need to diversify your people you're talking to.
Are people in Lauryn Hill's world still talking about Lauryn Hill's Miseducation? I mean, I know it was a big record.
I own both those albums. Does that matter? Bloop.
Blood on the Tracks.
And I'll tell you this much. I can tell you which one I've listened to more. It's easily Rubber Soul.
You mean Revolver?
I'm sorry, Revolver, yeah.
Blood on the Tracks, Bob Dylan, number 9. Purple Rain is number 8. Rumors by Fleetwood Mac, number 7. Nevermind by Nirvana, number 6. Abbey Road, The Beatles, number 5. I don't even think that was the highest rated Beatles album last time. I really don't. Songs is a great album.
What is your favorite Beatles album? Isn't it Revolver?
I think it is. I love Revolver.
You say that before,
I do. I mean, it's from where they started out.
Yeah.
I never knew you were such a Beatles fan.
2 years later, you know, with Tomorrow Never Knows, the tape loops, and George Harrison doing Eastern music, Love You Too, with tablas and all that crazy stuff from India. Songs in the Key of Life, Stevie Wonder, number 3. Okay, here's another time when I go, oh, my God, how many women are on this committee? Joni Mitchell, Blue, at number 3. Number 3?
What?
I know it's high. I know it's popular. I know critics love it, but...
What's on it?
I can't name one song off the top of my head. Is Pay Paradise, put up a Big Yellow Taxi? I don't know. Beach Boys, Pet Sounds, number 2.
Such a great album.
That's a good one, yeah.
And Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, is number 1 now? I realize it was about ecology.
Sure.
It was about the environment. Maybe that it makes it more.
Wow, what a.
I wasn't crazy about this list.
Garbage list.
What's going on?
You know, okay, let me look at some other things. So top 100 to 200. I mean, to be in the top 200.
What's going on, officer?
Is huge. Is Hole Live Through This the 106th best album of all time?
You yelled at me the other day when I said I thought that was a good album.
I think it's a good album, but...
Don't let the messiness of Courtney Love cloud your thoughts about Hole, because they're not a bad band.
Is it better than the Marshall Mathers LP, the Physical Graffiti, Born in the USA?
Yes.
Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory?
No, it's very subjective, but it's not a bad album.
106. I wonder what it's, if it sold like 20 million copies, then I'll say okay.
I tell you,
I don't even think it sold that much.
It's interesting. Not one Pearl Jam song in the top 50 that we heard.
Oh, yeah.
Not one Pearl
Jam album. Yeah, Pearl Jam 10 is number 100 and something.
Yeah, I'm surprised that's not higher, but.
I would definitely put it higher.
That's not even their best album.
Is Jeff Buckley Grace the 148th best record of all time? What the? I understand. I know that record.
Throw that out your car window.
John Prine, 149. Really?
Just because he died.
I mean, just make it so. When a guy dies like that, you should lower his rank so people don't say, "Oh my God, of course they raised him because he lied." That's bullshit. Erykah Badu is at 158, too. Pearl Jam's 160, 10.
Wow.
In Utero Nirvana's 173. Kendrick Lamar, damn, 174.
This list is a mess. I'm surprised we didn't hear any Adele, to tell you the truth.
Adele 21 is number 137.
Yeah.
Joshua Tree is 136. Pink Floyd, The Wall, 129.
Hey, why were you cranking U2 yesterday, post-show jam? Any reason?
I don't know.
You're cranking them.
And
then that led me to...
Hello.
That led me to listen to... what's Rattle and Hum? When I got home. Rattle for Hum? No reason.
Yeah, great record.
Mm-hmm.
I like the one with the song with B.B. King.
Yeah.
When Love
yeah.
Comes to Town.
I got to tell you, have you watched Rattle and Hum any time recently?
No, I haven't. I would like to watch that again, actually.
It's funny seeing those guys interviewed then and how heavy they were. How much bigger they got from that moment.
I know. They were big.
It's like they knew they were going to be even bigger and more self-important than they were at that moment.
Very self-important at that time. They recorded a few songs in Sun Studios just to show how important they were.
Yes, Elvis. Bono, sir, we wish to inform you that your record for biggest crap has just been broken.
And you were playing my wedding song, too, the All I Want Is You, which is just a great song. Phenomenal song. Come on. That's a great song.
It's a great song.
Do you know who else used it as their wedding song? It's taken me weeks to build up to tell you this.
It's got to be some celebrity couple that we don't like.
Not really celebrity, but it's been in a documentary series that we've both been watching, and you never mentioned it, so I didn't think you caught it.
Wait, The Vow? What? Who used it? Vanguard?
No, the guy whose face I want to punch, Mark.
Oh, yeah. I heard him say that, and I think I blocked it out because it just bothered me so much I couldn't even – I didn't want to process it.
Him and his wife, there's a scene of their wedding, and that was the song, and I just went, no!
That hurts.
For so many reasons, I just didn't want to have anything in common with that guy other than the name. And I don't know. Maybe it's just too common to use that. But I just love that. It's such a great song.
You know who else didn't? You know, I'm just thinking of the top one I just read. Where's Tom Petty? Really? No Tom Petty?
He died. Why didn't
nothing?
He get moved up?
No Full Moon Fever. No Wildflowers.
Yeah,
nothing.
That's weird.
And he is no longer with us.
He died. I don't know. It just stupid list. Okay, so. Is there any more to say about RBG today? I mean, I realize they're gonna go ahead and do this. Mitt Romney said that he will vote.
They'll all vote.
He'll vote for the justice. He won't vote against the justice.
No, he said they should have hearings. I just assume that he would vote yes.
Okay.
And I believe that I can't remember her name. She's got three names: Amy something something.
Eric.
Yeah, but I five Democrats approved her to be what she is now because they have to go through those hearings.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Amy Coney Island Barrett. Yeah.
Well, what's the point of voting against her if she's going to go in anyway?
Well, yeah. No, you're right.
She's a terrible judge.
You're right, but I guess you don't know that.
Yeah. By the way, just to all the people in Washington, all the Congress people and senators of... Don't worry about the stimulus or anything. Don't worry about the people who are unable to work now, who've been thrown out of their jobs. Don't worry about taking care of them. I mean, just go ahead and yell at each other and, you know, say exactly what you didn't say in 2015.
Slow down.
Yeah, just to raise money. Do you see 9 million people still have not gotten the first stimulus check?
I'm not surprised. And does anyone care?
But it's
what are they doing up there? I mean, honestly, all they do is argue. I mean, going back to impeachment, which just went on and on and on. Nothing got done. Shutting down the government over the wall. I mean, all this stupidity.
They're all talking to their own constituents, and they like them because they voted for them, but they hate the rest of Congress. So they're all just talking to their own
stupid government, own
individual districts.
How much
wherewithal do the 9 million who haven't gotten their stimulus check have, by the way? I mean, is that a little weird that people haven't gotten them? I mean, does that any of the responsibility fall on them?
I spoke with a Uber driver because, you know, I just do that all the time now. And he actually just said that he hadn't gotten his, but it was because of tax issues.
Oh, okay. So there's nothing they can do.
You know, I know
it's all because of filing issues.
Gotcha. Okay.
My sister hasn't gotten her. I should tell her to call her congressperson.
I take it
like
back.
Like the girls here did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, Patty.
I look in a full-length mirror and say I was wrong.
Yeah, by the way, someone has requested that the full-length mirror be put on Drew's favorite things. That's right there on our website.
What?
Oh, okay.
So people can look at
so
it.
So people
and say
can
they're wrong.
Tell the truth to themselves because yeah. it's hard to yes. be you're wrong. That's true. I want to mention Roy Head, R.I.P. Roy Head, the great Texan who had the number two hit "Treat Her Right" back in 1965. Only yesterday, by the Beatles, held it out at number one, and it was in the Commitments movie and also Once Upon a Time in America. Tarantino.
Wait, he just died?
He just died. Yeah, 79 years old. And this guy could dance. I mean, not that I care, but... I mean, this coming out of an AM radio in that movie, it right. just sounded very 60s.
Hey! Hey, Jeff!
He was
performing... Oh, you're looking good, baby.
Are you watching the Shindig performance?
No, I'm just playing the song.
I mean, there's some crazy penis-softening dancing.
Look who's up, sleepyhead. If you want a
little loving, this man is lying his head off.
You're shaking your head now.
Okay, bring him. Let's go. Hey, bring him all up.
You know, John and I did a lot of gay head. John loved that. Gad. I like to think of Gad.
It's Roy Head.
He's a pooper head.
Is that really his last name, or is that a stage name?
Forget the head. Put a bag over it and do your business.
I think it's his name. I think. I mean, I don't know that much about him.
He was born Roy Kent Head.
Roy Kent Head. Okay, great.
Hey! We played this at 1240 WRV. It's Kevin. Is there some more head drops?
Did you yell?
Heads up!
Funky dog hit, bitch.
Bruce Springsteen plays this live occasionally, by the way.
Does he tell a really long story before he plays it?
I think he combines it with a Bo Diddley song, so it is long. Bump, bump. Yeah.
Heads up!
1240 WRV.
Where was that album on the top 500?
I don't think it's on there. Don't think it made it.
I died too late.
And I'm really hung up on that list. I want to go back and look at it. And I want to check record sales for some of these selections, some of these so big albums. Today... There was a couple of very strange stories. One was Vanessa Bryant. Her mother gave an interview in, is it in South America? Did you guys see this?
No,
you sent it.
No.
Vanessa Bryant's mother, Sophia Lane, no relation, is her name. And, you know, I've read a lot about Sophia because I remember that Kobe considered her kind of his mother because Kobe didn't talk to his own parents.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that weird?
He's weird.
Kobe!
Well, Vanessa sounds kind of strange, too, because Vanessa, okay, the first of all,
she's the air he breathes.
That's right. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Sophia Lane goes on, it's a South American network of some kind, saying that Vanessa kicked her out of her house, which Kobe bought her, Kobe and Vanessa, demanded her car back.
Kicked her out. So she wasn't living with them. They bought her a house, and
they bought her a house.
Okay.
Yeah. But as Vanessa pointed out, Vanessa said, "Oh, she's crying because she's not in a house or a car that's not in her name."
Oh, my mother!
In other words, Vanessa was pretty much saying, "Fuck you! It's not in your name, and Kobe's dead, so he's not going to keep you in there. So fuck you."
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty harsh.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
And. I mean, clearly, would it not be obvious that if Kobe were alive, she would probably be in the house and in the car?
Yeah. Yeah, because he died and she kicked her out. I don't understand that.
Kobe!
And Vanessa also says that she's hiding her diamonds and her furniture to make it look like she doesn't have anything.
Okay, yeah, because people believe that. What are you talking about, lady?
What? Are you really, you two are really doing this?
That's pretty stupid.
Come on, what would Kobe think?
And she also, she objected, I guess some people were saying that her mother was her rock when Kobe died. She was not present when Kobe died. Mm. So she was of no help whatsoever. So maybe that's why she took the house and the car away. Fuck her.
Yeah. She claims she's still supporting her, too.
Yeah, but seems if you were supporting her. I mean, Vanessa Bryant, how much money does Vanessa Bryant need?
All of it.
If the house is in her name, then she could kick her mom out at any time.
Yeah. Yeah, so why not?
She needs the money right now. I don't fucking know. It just,
you know, it's funny.
Just,
nobody would know about this if she didn't respond, though. Wouldn't it have just stayed in South America?
You're right. It would have just kind of blown over. I did hear about it before Vanessa responded, but it even was slipping my mind, like, oh, my God, what a weird story this is. But then when Vanessa comes out and says, the house and the car aren't even in her fucking name.
She's taking her jewelry off.
Yeah, we get it, Vanessa. The house is in your name, so you can kick her out whenever you want. But she's your mom, and Kobe kept her in there, so what the hell?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to change my life. It just is really strange. And certainly, if this were 1990, I don't think we'd be reading about all this.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone would just kind of shut up and move on. But, of course, we have to know everything now, including this dumb story. I heard this about the day Cardi B went nuts on, who'd she go off on? Oh, Candace Owens.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The black woman that Cardi says hates herself because she's black, because she's a conservative. Anyway, Cardi said she was really upset that day because her sister, who is a lesbian.
Yeah.
Was.
Isn't her name Hennessy?
Yes. She got in a fight with some racist homophobes on a beach in New Jersey or somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a video of it. It was weird.
There is a video. And I have to tell you, having watched the video, I kind of felt like the sister was the one that was really overreacting. Am I mischaracterizing that?
Well, there was that other lady that came in the end and started yelling some not very nice things.
I didn't hear what did she yell?
Well, let's play it.
Okay,
let's play it back.
Because all I'm going
to
say is
back to where you came from, and didn't she swear at her and all that other shit?
Oh, I thought that was the sister.
No.
Oh, that's the guy's wife?
I believe so.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
That's why this lawsuit was kind of weird to me, because it's not like they responded like Nicholas Salmon and stood there.
This whole thing,
got in an argument with her.
This whole thing, by the way, was about a parking space.
Yeah.
That apparently is an access road, or, I mean, this is according to some people that were at this beach, and who knows? I mean, the fact that I even know this is so ridiculous. But the sister felt that these people were a little too aggressive in demanding she move her car, and it's because they're racist and homophobes. Although, how would you know? Well, anyway, yeah, go ahead and play it, because I completely missed the who was talking here.
Fuck out of you!
Move your vehicle out of here.
Move the fuck my face.
Okay.
Don't ever come to a female pressing her while I'm not here.
I'm near you.
I don't give a fuck. Right. Stop the fuck
okay,
out my car.
Okay, who is that talking?
Stop the fuck out my
that's
car.
That's either Cardi B's sister, sister or her lover. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought.
Get the fuck out my face. You in my vehicle.
Shut the fuck up.
He paused it for a second.
Shut up.
Okay, the guy that's asking her to move is when they're recording this. Is he recording this, or is Cardi's sister's friend recording this? Who's recording this?
I thought
it's definitely
Hennessy. Yeah.
Oh, that's Hennessy's girlfriend?
The lady on the screen,
the one that's
right
yelling?
Now? That one? No, she's with those guys, I think.
Oh, yes. She's with those guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Right, Brandon? So,
and she's the one that was just yelling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought you said it
no,
was
No, there's
Hennessy
two women in
yelling.
The video so far. The woman in the beginning is the one who is with Hennessy or Hennessy. And the woman that we are just getting to is the wife of these dudes or something like that.
Okay, who is all the fuck you, fuck you, fuck you? Who is that?
I imagine that's Hennessy or her girlfriend. I don't know.
That's what I thought. But go ahead. Just play it over again.
Get the fuck out of my face. You in my vehicle.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up, Karen.
Shut up.
I mean, they're both saying shut the fuck up.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Bitch, I got a strap. Right. Yes, I got a dildo showing up your ass and your husband's ass.
Shut up,
suck my dick, bitch.
Get the fuck out of here, Karen.
I hope you know. I hope you know that you will be online and your husband. And yep. And guess what?
Trump.
And guess what? I got.
Okay, so that's Cardi B's sister who's threatening to put her online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which, by the way, I'm Cardi B's sister. I guess you know that we're going to put you online and you're fucking dead. Put it online? I mean, weren't they both being ridiculous?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brandon?
No, I agree. I mean, they're both screaming. So they're both assholes. That's all I see in this story.
But did Cardi B put this on her Instagram?
I think she shared it, yeah.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, God.
This was a while ago. I don't see it on there now. This is still on TMZ.
Yeah, I don't think it's still up there because she called these people racists and homophobes. And TMZ was talking about it today. And apparently some of the basis for that is allegedly because he's wearing a MAGA hat. Therefore, he is a racist.
Yeah, we have no idea how it started.
But the guy, I don't think the guy did anything. Isn't he pretty quiet?
Yeah, yeah. No, he didn't say anything on that tape, yeah.
I mean, two women are just the nastiest fucking bitches. They're terrible. But the guy, you know, she says, get out of my face. And he's like, I'm like 10 feet away from you. What the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, you know, it's just another ridiculous thing. Why, you know, why people... These phones, these fucking social media and these devices are just the worst things that have ever happened. Because I don't know, what good did that do anyone? Look at all the time we've wasted from our lives just looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And now the couple is suing Cardi B for calling them racists and homophobes, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, so great.
Suing Hennessy for calling them racist and then suing Cardi B because she put that video out there calling them racist.
Yeah.
And, of course, they got a lot of pushback.
Well, it goes out to so many people because of her position on social media. So, I don't know. I mean, I get the impression that it's probably virtually impossible to win that suit.
You would think so, yeah, because we don't even know who these people are, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, unless they were doxxed and maybe people started haranguing them, I don't know. Possible.
Frank Caliendo's brother, Peter, maybe.
Oh, we have Facebook.
Oh, yeah, we have that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just really dumb. Just dumb. I don't know. I just feel like some days, I know I've said this before, that it's just such an endless parade of dumb people doing dumb things, and they're usually people who should know better.
Yeah. Here's my favorite dumb political story of the day. At 10 p.m. Saturday night, Bloomfield Township police were called to the 1,000 block of Atkinson for the theft of, quote, two Trump president signs. The homeowner told police the security cameras caught two women running off with the two Trump signs off his front lawn. Last week, at about 8:30 p.m., police took a call from the 1,000 block of Hickory Bark Lane. The homeowner said that someone stole his Biden-Harris campaign sign sometime between 5:30 and 8:30.
Can we just get rid of these signs, period?
Well,
they do nothing but
you.
Cause problems.
I was telling you a month ago, I feel like there's been a sign battle, at least in Berkeley. Like, one house will be all decked out in Trump, and then two houses later, it's all Biden stuff. And I feel like one was a response to the other.
I feel like,
but how funny
aren't
is
you
this
begging
that the
to have your house, begging to have your house egged, though? Aren't you just begging for someone to throw something through your window, or because people are idiots?
That's shitty, though.
It
I mean,
is
you
shitty.
Should be
it
able
is.
To
no, I agree. You should, but you should be able to wear an Ohio State jersey to, you know, Penn State too.
Yeah,
you know, but
I do.
But,
well, not Ohio State, but I wear.
But a lot of people run into trouble when they do that.
Well, yeah, I guess it's all how you do it. But how about the Bloomfield Township Police having to deal with these two thefts of a Biden sign and a Trump sign? What a waste of fucking time.
Yep.
And money.
I got a better story. Did you see the guy in Newaygo County? Who?
Oh, the billboard guy.
Yeah, he had eight Biden signs, and he put them up, and he's all proud of them. And the next day he gets up, he's like, yeah, look at the Biden sign. Isn't that great? And he's like, wait a second. There's only seven. Yeah. What happened to my Biden sign? His eighth Biden sign. So I guess after that, I think he shared that with his Facebook neighborhood group, and they were like, oh, that's terrible, you know. And then the next day, there's like a couple more are pulled out, and they're thrown in a ditch.
Yeah, and someone drove over the other ones, too.
Yeah, someone drove over them.
So they told him, I think, I don't know, if the police or whoever told him, like, hey, you should put up a trail cam. You know what trail cam is,
yes,
right, for hunters?
Yes, which was stolen. Promptly stolen, along with all the signs.
What's wrong with people? They're signs.
You know these are adults doing this.
Oh, I know. It's just childish.
What
happened in Warren with the Black Lives Matter sign, and that guy decided to slash tires and break windows.
Oh, yeah. People are just out of their fucking minds.
I don't get it.
Why?
I don't know how this stuff, people, it just lives rent-free in their head when it comes to Trump and when it comes to Biden. And you get so deep into these ideologies, I don't understand it. People are the same way with you know, Barack Obama.
But I, you know, I got to tell you, I don't think most of those people, I realize some of them are sincere. And I liked Obama. I thought he was a good guy overall. I don't think most
what?
Of people.
How dare you, Andrew?
I guarantee I'll get at least one email.
All the emails
I'll get at least one email about that.
Of course
for
you
saying
will.
That.
I agree.
But most of those people, they don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit. They don't care as much as you care.
Yep.
They're not going to go scream in front of anyone's house or do anything like that. They're trying to get reelected.
Yeah, if someone took a Drew sign off the front yard of the White House, I don't think they'd care. What a concept.
Oh, God. So the guy anyway in Newaygo County, he was so bummed out, he started a GoFundMe to purchase a Biden billboard.
A bunch of them. A bunch of them in a row.
Oh, did he buy a bunch of them?
Yeah,
I just saw the one.
He said he was driving down the street and he noticed a bunch of empty billboards. That's when he decided to do it.
He raised, I think, $4,000.
Money well spent.
Yeah.
Although I'm all for it. Hey, keeps money moving around. Helps the billboard.
$4,000.
I suppose that's good.
People are just so out of their minds.
I know. And it's funny, after watching The Social Dilemma, it just really reinforces a lot of things that I already felt, that we're not only going out of our minds, but people are helping, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Algorithms are helping us go out of our minds, and they're feeding us more of the shit we're already reading. Depending on what side we're on, we'll get more of it.
Yeah.
And if we like fake news or conspiracy news or whatever, they just keep pounding us with it, and everybody gets more wound up and more wound up.
And trolls and bots.
You are fake news.
They know this, man. They know that we are just an easily divided country.
Do you know, yesterday I was reading an article about the Lions. I was reading a bunch of articles about the Lions, and I noticed in the comments, because the comments are, I'll always read at least a few, just like, what's the general take here? And I usually feel like I know, and so I'm kind of trying to verify how I feel.
Oh, there's more confirmation bias.
Well, no, I just want to know, the people that are commenting,
yes,
generally, it tells you something. I mean, I don't really, and also sometimes comments are very funny.
Yeah, I was just joking. Yeah.
I noticed that the comments on the Lion story quickly devolve into, well, fucking Matt Stafford, social justice warrior, put more time into his football. I mean, that happens really fast.
Yeah.
And then people start going, oh, you're a moron. And then, you know, it goes back and forth. And it's like, what the fuck are you people doing? It's like a lot of the stories too. And I, this is why I stopped reading comments about a lot of stories, because I know immediately they're going to turn into Trump. You know, Trump is a fucking racist. Versus you're a loser, you know, or you're a snowflake. And it's like the story can be about anything. It could be the Cardi B story because there's a Trump hat in the story. Or it could be the Vanessa Bryant story. Somehow Trump will come into the comments and then people start arguing back and forth.
That's true.
It's crazy. So let me do this. You know what I did today? I worked out today, second day in a row.
Hey,
I'm back at it.
Oh, all right.
Because that first workout, I was so sore.
Yeah.
I didn't work out for
lifting weights?
I didn't work out again for over 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
I was really sore.
Look at that blubber fly.
Could have closed the gym down for 2 more weeks.
Yeah, they could have. That's right.
How many people were there today?
Not many. 10. I mean, it's a giant gym, too. So after
that, I don't know if you've been working out or what, but your body's looking good.
2 days in a row. Going for 3 tomorrow.
Hey, all right.
Actually, felt pretty good after the workout today. So, anyway, after the workout, I was with Matt, and of course, because he's part of the DDA, he's like, take it for a little field trip. I just want to tour a few things downtown.
He loves giving tours of Royal Oak.
He does. So
really good at it. And they're very fast.
They are quick. He's very aware of attention spans. We drive by, and he's showing me just all the tents that people are putting up because they're building decks on the sidewalks.
Yeah, well, 4th is, no, 5th Avenue is closed from, what is that, Washington to the rail, the train tracks, which is a smart move.
5th Avenue, the club, has a giant outdoor area now. They got bars outside, and they got tents over, and they're blowing heat in there. And So is Lily's has a big tent. Luigi's got a big tent. And Luigi had these. I'm like, wow.
Look at those, Luigi.
Look at those big cement blocks there. What are those cement blocks for? And I thought, is he just trying to make sure that the tent doesn't blow away? And
man, said, stop idiots from driving into
exactly.
It.
It's yeah. to stop people from driving into diners.
These people are dumb.
People are dumb.
I'm going to park there. I always park there. There's a tent in the way with people and tables.
But they are really busting their ass in Royal Oak to keep things, to give you some place to go where you can feel relatively safe. And, I was supposed to have the talking points today.
I put it in there.
You did?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Brand new ones.
Whew. I was sweating. That could have led to a number of field trips.
Well, I had plenty of time to do it.
Okay, here's the contest. This Saturday has been declared Downtown Day across Michigan to celebrate. Downtown Royal Oak will be doing a giveaway. And also, it's a good weekend. It's Downtown Day. Go downtown, spend your Royal Oak bucks.
It's all happening downtown.
The contest will be posted on September 25th, that would be Friday, to Instagram at downtown_Royal Oak. To enter, post a photo to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in downtown Royal Oak. Petula Clark, yes. Downtown, when
you've got worries, all the noise and the where was this on the list?
I don't think Petula Clark made the list. Downtown, just listen. This was a very big hit, though, when I was just becoming aware of the radio.
I kind of like this song.
It's not bad. I get her confused with Lulu. To Sir With Love.
Yes.
I like that song, too.
Not a bad song.
The movie's not bad with Sidney Poitier. It's a very progressive movie for 1967. Okay, so Saturday's Downtown Day across Michigan. Contest will be posted on Friday to Instagram at downtown_Royal Oak. To enter, post a photo of your Instagram feed to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in downtown Royal Oak. Tag at downtown_Royal Oak and use the hashtag DowntownDayRO. Five winners will be selected at random to receive $1,000 in downtown dollars to use the participating local businesses, which is damn near everybody. So head to Downtown Royal Oak's Instagram page to follow along and learn more. And don't forget to visit Downtown Royal Oak for Downtown Day this Saturday. And you can click a link on our website, correct?
Yeah, there should be a link right there. Mm-hmm.
There should?
Oh, no, there's a link to there.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were stalling.
Trip really necessary, you know, for the project.
But it's $1,000.
You've got to go downtown, George. It's all downtown. Just like the song says.
The song?
There's your answer. Downtown.
You mean the Petula Clark song?
Yeah.
You sure he didn't just mention it because you happen to be going downtown?
I think he was trying to tell me something, like it had some sort of a meaning.
Okay, so how does it go?
When you're alone, and life is making you lonely, you can always go.
Downtown.
Royal Oak.
Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close.
Downtown.
Royal Oak.
Just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon lights are pretty. The lights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles.
Forget all your pain.
Forget all your cares.
Cares?
Just go.
Downtown.
What was that episode about? I don't remember that.
Oh,
why
boy.
Do I remember that?
You'll have to call Tom.
Maybe we'll have to call Tom about that. He'll know. Anyway, $1,000. Not bad. And... oh, let's see. What else? Oh, yes. Water is everywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher. Keep an eye out for any water in your home, not just floods. Water is the enemy. Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you. Hey, maybe you got a bunch of mold or you have fire damage, storm damage, anything. I mean, windy days, crazy weather. It's been happening. I'm sure we'll get more of it. Call 877-JOB-DONE. Hopefully you won't need 877-JOB-DONE, but if you do, if you got an emergency, do it. Put it on the fridge and call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. And, okay, we can move on now. Is there another reason to call Tom?
No.
Okay.
Well, I called him the other day and he never called me back.
No.
That's how it goes, man.
Yeah, his insurance company is... they're making some kind of a pitch, I guess, to.
Oh, I know. But I called him about something totally different, and I actually needed something from him for the first time in forever. Or
what did you need?
Karen called me. Karen from No BS News.
Wow, I hope they have good homeowners insurance.
Because she had a friend that had a question, and I thought Tom might have the answer.
Was it about insurance?
No, it wasn't about insurance.
Oh, well, this is mystifying.
It's about podcasting.
About podcasting?
Yeah.
What does Tom know that you don't know?
Well, I just didn't know what kind of services that Streamcast might provide that we don't necessarily provide here.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Am I being cryptic about it?
No, a little bit.
It's an organization, and they want to get it, they want to get into podcasting, and they want to know how much. And I said, well, that's a really open-ended question. And for this particular group, I thought it would be better to go someplace that has facilities.
Probably
and
would.
Pay to rent them and have them do all the tech stuff.
Does that make sense?
I think Tom would refer them back to you.
You made me get in the weeds there about it. I told you it was totally boring. But I don't know why Tom didn't call me back about it.
Yeah.
He hates charity, apparently.
I guess so. I'm sorry to hear that. Jeez. I wonder how the rap with Maz is going.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Anyway, yeah, the insurance, Tom apparently, I don't know what happened, but there was apparently some contact. I don't know if the head of the insurance company went to him or if he went to them, but there was some discussion about advertising on the podcast.
Yeah.
On our show. For, I guess it'd be some sort of made-to-order marketing plan for Tom Mazaway, where people
sounds
would be
good.
Encouraged,
we'll take Tom's
encouraged
money.
To do business with Tom Mazaway.
Everything comes full circle, we'll take Tom's money.
And then they wanted a feature, and I'm sure this is probably the ownership's idea, maybe a feature involving Tom doing 10 minutes of sports or something. But, of course, it's not a sports podcast, so I'm not sure that would work.
We can maneuver
but
that.
We have Tom on.
Wow, I hope they have good homeowners insurance.
We should talk to him for 10 minutes anyway. But it would be, that's funny. He could literally buy his way back in the show using someone else's money.
Yeah, but it's a win-win for him, too, because he would get business out of it.
I would think so.
My insurance does not cover PMS.
Did you watch Monday Night Football?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I was watching a game, and I'm
Saints
like,
Saints and Raiders?
Mm-hmm. What's the Raiders quarterback?
David Carr.
Okay. Why do I feel like David Carr is going to get a team somewhere before Matt Stafford?
Because they're basically okay. Now this I'm glad you brought this because this kind of illustrates the point that I say about Matthew Stafford, where he's just another NFL quarterback. I can see swapping them and having the same result for both teams.
You think so?
Yes, I really do.
I think Stafford's better.
I have a feeling Oakland's gonna. I don't know if it'll be this year, but I have a feeling soon. And you know how their draft picks. What's that?
You call them Oakland, Las Vegas.
Oh, Las Vegas, of course.
Forgot
that. Notice how the draft picks are kind of making a difference faster. Like the running back who had 1,200 yards last year, and he looked pretty good last night, and he seems to be making his mark in the NFL as a top-notch back.
They have that receiver. Oh, my gosh. I was actually.
Oh, and the guy from Alabama, the receiver, who had the long interference call, and he caught a 45-yard catch. Yeah. And, you know, people.
Well, interference call, I was rooting against Brian Greasy because when that happened, Brian Greasy goes, that's the game. It's over. I'm like, no, it's not. There's a timeout. There's a 2-minute warning. So I was actually rooting for the other
hoping
team.
That he could just be wrong.
Just to be wrong. Just to be an ass.
Yeah, no, that's
Did
fun.
You notice that not the very first touchdown that the Las Vegas Raiders scored in their brand new facility was?
Spider 2Y Banana.
Are you serious? Was it really that play?
Yeah.
God, I hate
Spider 2Y Banana.
I used to like Gruden. I can't stand him anymore.
He wasn't wearing his mask last night.
Well, he was, but not the right way.
Well, they fined three coaches today for not wearing their masks, which is really funny because there's people playing tackle football in front of them. Shouldn't they be fined?
The NFL, it's all image. I do love it when a coach is wearing a mask and then you see him call his plays. Like you did in the old days where they put their play card up to the mouth so nobody can read their lips. It's like, you have a mask on. They can't read your lips. Morons.
Oh, boy.
Now, Andy Reid has the best mask by far.
What's his mask? Oh, the thing that he steamed up.
The Vista Viana one. Yeah, but now they've added vent holes at the top so it didn't steam up last week. So stupid. I love dumb shit like that. It's funny.
Well, that Sunday night game, by the way, which... That's when Pete Carroll's being fined for not having his mask on. And I did notice, like, oh, he didn't really have his mask on, but he wasn't really near anyone, and I didn't, whatever. Anyway, that was such a great game. It comes down to the 2-yard line, the last play of the game, and Cam Newton running off tackle for the touchdown.
Yep.
I reran that play like 5 times because I just wanted to see, it looked to me from the very beginning that couldn't he have gone out wide?
out wide to the left.
To the left.
No.
No? Are you sure?
Because that play was made by that cornerback who went under the block to push to keep him in. He'd have to step around that, and that's the guy that made
it. I just thought there was no way he was going to score going. I mean, it looked like that thing was so clogged.
He
jumped from like the 5 yards.
Look at the size of these guys.
That's Cam. Are you surprised they called that play?
Yes.
Like, it seems so obvious.
I was very surprised.
But I guess maybe that's what Belichick does that's brilliant, is the obvious, and you have to stop us.
Well, it was a great game. I mean, 35-30 and two good teams.
How good a coach
is
Belichick?
And how about Russell
Wilson?
Did
Gronk do anything in that game?
Well, he's with Tampa now.
Oh, that's right. Is he doing anything for Tampa?
You know what? No.
I saw the first game. He had like 2 catches for 9 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know about game 2. Can you look it up, Brandon? I'm just curious.
How about Russell Wilson on 3rd and 1 just launching the ball?
What the fuck was that?
I don't.
I never understand that.
I don't mind it, though. I mean, everybody was on the line. There was nobody deep.
It was just they just needed one more first down.
I know, but you could have gotten a penalty. A lot of stuff could have happened that way.
I guess.
You could have completed it, and it's ball game. At least it's aggressive.
Well,
I mean, the Lions would have run that ball and been stuffed a yard behind the line of
probably.
Scrimmage.
Probably.
So.
Gronk's latest game, yeah, he didn't even get. He had 1 target, no catches.
Yeah, boy.
He probably blocked great, though.
What O.J. Howard did? Did he do anything?
I don't know. Nobody cares.
Evans is doing really well.
Yeah, well,
nobody cares.
Brady's. He's got a lot of weapons.
Yes, he does. So today, speaking of sports, it's not a sports podcast. Of course, we all know that. But and this isn't really sports.
Speaking,
did you see that?
Sports.
Rachel Nichols is so upset at the NBA for not properly acknowledging RBG's death.
What are they supposed to what? Are they going to put that on the court?
This is what it's coming to. I guess they should have taken a day off. They should have, you know, not played for a couple of days. She said that she tweeted out, the icons of equality, this is just part of her tweet, the icons of equality can't only include the men we see on TV, but those who paved the way for the women who work right alongside the men.
Well, the WNBA. So
Rachel Nichols thinks that she and these other hot chicks who are, you know, hired to look nice and do sports.
The WNBA can all be up in arms. They can honor her.
They did.
Okay. Well, then.
But
fine.
She's angry, and I guess some of her cohorts were joining her in their anger.
What are we complaining about then? Nichols.
They should have done something.
It's Diane Sawyer's daughter-in-law.
Oh, is it?
I think so, yeah. She married Mike Nichols' son.
Oh.
Bloop.
Well,
for no reason.
This Jason Whitlock thing against Katie Nolan is just cracking me up because he called out, and this was ridiculous, that Doug Gottlieb had every reason to criticize Maria Taylor. She fucked up her All-Star ballot. She was one of the first people who have ever been given the vote her first year. Mm-hmm. She gets this cake job, not cake job, but she gets a great job as a studio host and a sideline person her first year, and there's a lot of grumbling about that, but it's like, oh, well, she's super duper hot, and she played basketball, and so, you know, I guess it's a big win-win, and she's a hard worker, and I'm not taking anything away from her, but she fucked up that ballot like nobody has fucked it up. Her first ballot.
Yeah.
So she should be
called out for that, yeah.
And Doug Gottlieb calls her out, and what happens? Maria Taylor tells him he's full of shit, because she's earned the vote and she played the game, and then all of her female hot accomplices, sports writers, they all called Doug Gottlieb sexist, that is not sexist. That is saying that she should earn it just like everyone else earns it, and she did a lousy job. He's treating her, he's calling her out by the same standards.
Yeah.
It was not because she was a woman, and he didn't even mention that she's hot. That was where Jason Whitlock came in.
Well, Whitlock basically said told Maria Taylor, you know, kind of don't be the victim here, take the high road, which, yeah, I kind of.
She just got Dan McNeil fired in Chicago for his stupid tweet,
But then he took a shot at Katie Nolan in the article.
Because he says she makes $1 million a year, and he said that she refuses to do anything live. She throws a shit fit, and he went pretty deep on that one. He said that her first show at ESPN drew 40,000 viewers. 40,000 viewers.
On what?
She had a show on ESPN, and it was apparently a pretty solid failure, and she got promoted after doing this show that had 40,000 viewers, and they paid her $1 million, and she refuses to do live TV, according to Jason Whitlock.
Was it on ESPN or Fox Sports 1 where she first started?
I don't know. I didn't,
because nobody watched Fox Sports 1.
I thought he said on ESPN. Okay. Boy, you sound like a big Katie Nolan fan.
No, and the only
I've seen some of her shows.
She's not. There's a lot of people that like her, whether or not they won't like her for the reason Whitlock thinks, or because they like her because she's.
Well, why are all these women they hire so hot? What's up with that? Because I thought they were being progressive by moving women up in the world, but if it's only hot women.
Some people would say they do hire some not so hot women.
Who?
Well, I don't want to out them, but there's a whole handful that are the most attractive. But,
aren't most of them hot, though?
For a standout show, a show on their own, yeah, they're going to be attractive.
When I see a sideline either. Reporter or an ESPN host in a studio, they're usually extremely hot. I don't know.
Isn't that the same thing with like Hollywood? I mean, it's television, you know?
But the guys aren't that hot. The guys aren't always super duper hot.
What guy on
They don't hire guys for hotness. They hire guys for their skill.
Yeah, but
for
they got to look good too, don't they?
Well, they got to look good enough. I mean, I don't know.
Look at that Doug Gottlieb. He's a stunning looking man.
What does he look like?
You know Doug Gottlieb is.
I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, didn't he play basketball?
I swear to God, I really don't watch much ESPN. I was just amused by this.
Is Gottlieb even on ESPN?
No. He would have gotten fired if he was on ESPN. Are you kidding me?
Where does this sexist work?
Fox Sports, CBS. No, it looks like he's at Fox now.
Yeah, he's at FS1.
I mean, you know, maybe I'm completely out of touch. Maybe they are hiring very average-looking females who have tremendous knowledge. It seems to me they're all really hot. Like, I can't even repeat many of their names. They never say much that really makes me go, oh, my God! Whereas...
But the thing I hate about it, though, Beth Mowins is actually not that...
I never see Beth Mowins. Where is Beth Mowins?
She does the NBA games for ESPN. Calls him.
Oh, okay. Well, she's doing play-by-play.
She calls him with that.
You can't call play-by-play just by being hot. That's a pretty major gig. I mean, you couldn't get away with hiring someone hot just to do play-by-play.
Finish what Whitlock said about Katie, and I don't think he's entirely wrong. I just, there are a lot of people that like what she does.
What does she do?
Well, she's kind of the brash, like... you know, chick you'd want to hang out with at the bar. And that's what, you know, she's done podcasts and she has moved up. She wasn't just plucked out because she was hot. Now, that being said, she probably did get ahead of a few people because she's attractive.
Is she just attractive or is she super attractive?
I think she's cute.
Let's see, Katie Nolan.
She won a gold medal in the Junior Olympics.
She did. What sport?
She got a college degree in rhythmic.
Oh, she's pretty hot. She's very hot.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always liked her.
No, I mean, I don't even know her. I don't even know who she is, seriously. I just got amused because this story about Maria Taylor, she got dragged into it. But Whitlock went into a lot of depth in the story. And I know he's a rabble rouser.
Yeah.
I like Whitlock. I don't have a problem with Whitlock.
Yeah, but he has hot takes. And
getting a ton of shit for being a sexist.
Oh, God, yeah.
He is so sexist. He's the worst person ever. How dare he say these women get hired because they're pretty?
Well, that's dumb.
I know it. But anytime you criticize a female, they go ape shit. First of all, they all support each other. They all immediately declare the person a sexist. And, you know, I guess if that's what keeps them employed, you know. Be my guest. I mean, I don't care. It's whatever's happening is happening. It's done. And I'm sure it'll continue. But I just think it'd be nice if they hired women who know their shit and they weren't always the hottest chick. Can't they look average? I mean, you think the women don't look better than the guys on sports on ESPN?
Oh, they probably do. Sure.
I mean, I think the hotness level is dramatically higher.
What do you just want? You want like 9 Kathy Bates on the sidelines? What do you want?
I just want people that know their shit. And I don't know, maybe these women know their shit more than the guys. I don't watch a lot of ESPN anymore, so I'm not really I was interested in the Whitlock story. I wasn't expecting this much Katie Nolan love, to be honest, because I don't even know how good she is. But he said that she refuses to do anything live.
I didn't mean to go down that trail. I wondered why he picked on Katie Nolan.
I think because he knows a lot about her, and he knows that she refuses to do anything live.
Okay.
That seemed to be his biggest gripe about her, is that she really has not improved. She was not a draw on the show that plummeted, or rather that vaulted her to this million-dollar position. You know, the women on ESPN get paid more than the guys in a lot of cases.
Really?
Yeah. I was amazed. Like, wait, is it Michelle Beadle that was making $5 million a year?
Yeah, but that's because she got some leverage with NBC.
What? Why is she so good? I mean, what is so good about her?
Because she's attractive, probably.
I mean, does she have hot takes or something?
I thought she was just a studio host, but didn't she get booted off one of the mornings?
She said she didn't watch the NFL. She was mad at the NFL, and she wouldn't watch the games or something. So I'm like, how can she fucking do the show?
Well, they
did.
They got rid of her. They booted her off.
Where is she now?
I don't know where she is. I haven't seen her in ages. I thought she did NBA.
Has she been demoted to the WNBA? Oh, this is funny. What happened to ESPN's Michelle Beadle? For years, Michelle Beadle was a familiar face on a variety of shows at the worldwide leader in sports. During her time at ESPN, she encountered more than a few controversies. Things appeared to be heading in the wrong direction when she was replaced on NBA Countdown. Months later, she was gone from ESPN. What happened to Michelle Beadle? She started her sports career as an intern with the San Antonio Spurs, landed her first reporting gig with the regional Fox Sports Net before landing a job with TNN as a sideline reporter for the professional Bull Rider series. During several years, she cross-trained in a variety of sports. She worked for Major League Baseball for a short time, then worked with the YES Network, covered the New Jersey Nets. She also worked for NFL Films and their Under the Helmet show. While she enjoyed working in sports.
Here's your answer. Summer of last year, they quietly removed Michelle Beadle from NBA Countdown, replacing her with Rachel Nichols and Maria Taylor. first Rachel, then Maria, and then now then she got a buyout with ESPN, and she's done. She's gone from ESPN.
Sounds like Beadle might be Team Whitlock in this fight.
Maybe.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
She got replaced.
She lost
Maria
her job to a younger, hotter chick. Two of them.
Well,
she got a lot of money because she left, went to NBC, and then ESPN said, "We want you back."
Paid her $5 million a year. She started
just don't
team.
Just don't ask if she's hot or not.
It didn't. She's not hot.
Well, no.
Whole announcing will come compounding.
Oh yeah. No, she is hot. She is hot, isn't she? I don't know. She
great.
Grows?
Now you're gonna have awful announcing on our door. Thanks.
I thought she was attractive.
She's
pretty. Didn't work. Chemistry between Beadle and Greenberg never materialized. Didn't help that when she announced she was boycotting college and professional football, calling Urban Meyer a liar, and said sports marginalized women. 5 months later, network announced she was going to focus her efforts on covering the NBA. A year later, rumors swirled that ESPN was buying out her contract. God, that's a big contract to buy out. Well, there was never official. So where is she now? You said you were going to tell me where she's now.
She's nowhere. She's done.
She's kept a low profile. She's posted her social media accounts on a variety of topics, including a trip to England where she took in her first soccer match, as well as countless pictures of her dog.
Fun.
She's also been active in encouraging people to get out and vote and wear masks during the pandemic. Beadle's brash personality and outspokenness created an untenable situation at ESPN. It's only a matter of time before another media outlet takes a chance and hires her.
Okay. Really?
Good for her.
The most attractive one by far is Samantha Ponder.
Yeah, she's the quarterback's wife.
Yeah,
is she good?
Sure. Okay. I don't even know. What
no,
she,
you guys seem to like
I don't
these
even know
people.
What she, I don't even know
you
what
seem
she
to
does,
like their though. Sports takes.
I don't know what she does now. I never liked Aaron Andrews. Everyone loved her. What is Aaron?
They
Andrews?
Loved her.
A lot of people loved Aaron.
What
Andrews.
Did she? I can't remember one thing she said that was really all that fascinating. She
wasn't that bad at sideline reporting.
No, she was okay. I mean, sideline reporting. That's what I understand.
They're better than ED.
If they are moving women ahead so far, why don't they move them into the booth to do more color commentary and play by play? And why aren't they coaching NFL teams?
Careful what you wish for; you might get it.
Well, there's
check
like
your misogyny.
There's like 10. Hey, I'm pushing for it.
It's
there's
gonna,
like 10 women coaching in the NFL right now. I never dreamed that would happen.
Coaching?
Well, that's, but, okay.
Let's no, run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
Offensive quality control. Most of them are the strength and conditioning.
You're inadvertently.
Hey, but that's how Ed Orgeron started.
You're inadvertently, making my point, which is that they put them in a certain place and they can't, they don't really let them run the team. They don't let them run the defensive line. They don't let them do the color commentary or the play-by-play. They just are stuck on the sideline. That's not really progressive.
Well, what do you want them just to be hired as a head coach like Condoleezza Rice, right? Without, with no experience?
Well, if we're going to advance women in football, which is what they say they want.
Though. You just give them opportunity and let them grow.
Didn't that girl from Remember the Titans grow up? Why isn't she coaching?
I'm telling you, this is my hot take. Within 5 years, there will be a female NBA head coach, and it'll be that girl, Becky, what's her name, down in San Antonio. Mark my words.
You're right. You're not. No, I think no that's
doubt.
True.
No
We're
doubt.
Definitely going to see a female head coach.
I think there will. I think there'll be an NFL coach, too.
Well, I think NBA is a little different because the coaches don't really matter as much. The head coaches don't really matter as much.
Well, that's a very sexist thing to say.
Sexist? They're all guys. They just don't matter.
Tyronn Lue.
Will NBA guys, will they like having a female coach?
If they can manage superstars and give superstars whatever they want, then yeah, she'll be fine.
Kiss their ass. All right, it's Truck Month at Zot Ford and Holly and DealsNindy.com. They brought back everyone's favorite month, Truck Month, which means now is the best time to take advantage of this year's most incredible savings on Ford trucks, including the number one selling truck in America for 42 straight years. That would be the F-150. And, of course, you can't ignore the all-new Ranger, the most talked-about truck in Detroit. So get to Zot Ford, lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or see the hottest sales staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Gabar and the gang at Zot Ford still have Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. So go to dealsinthed.com and check it all out. Adam wants to know if you're facing a divorce or custody issues or property issues. Call Adam. For nearly 30 years, they've been helping men like you protect your rights, get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve, so don't take a chance with your future. Go with Adam. They have knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys, the ones you want. Call them at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. And I got a real interesting poll, but I got to run up and check something really quickly. I'll try and hurry. Can you guys talk amongst yourselves?
Sure. Yeah, one more sports thing, Brandon. We're never going to see Robert Kraft's beat-off tape. Did you know that?
I heard that there was the footage and that he had been working really hard to make sure that the footage would never get out.
Yeah, the court said none of that footage can be used.
We have the footage. I have all the footage.
I forget the reasoning exactly because, I don't know, they didn't get the proper warrant or whatever the reason is. So then,
they need to see him getting beat off.
Well, come on. Everybody just wants to humiliate the owner of the Patriots.
Sure.
But he then filed, said, those tapes need to be destroyed, and if it's a matter of cost, we'll pay for it. So he really does not want you to watch him get beat off.
Someone's going to make a copy, and they will release it someday.
Yeah, but God, don't they catch those people who make a copy of it? When did they catch somebody like that? Although, I guess
they didn't catch that dude that was ripping off all these people trying to play McDonald's Monopoly.
Well, they did.
I'm just saying.
Eventually.
Then eventually when it comes out and we see his donger, it'll probably be after he's gone.
The problem is the only reason to release that would be to make money, right? But to make money, your identity is going to be revealed.
Yeah, to hold it against him and blackmail him.
If someone just wanted to humiliate him, then they could probably, just take the tape and mail it to TMZ or something.
Thank you, Dan.
But I don't know if that's really worth the risk just to watch Robert Kraft get beat off in a massage parlor.
Has that place been completely closed down now or no?
The Orchids, isn't it called the Orchids of Asia?
Yeah. And now, I'm sure it's completely shut down. I just didn't know if they reverted back into a normal massage parlor. But actually, you guys skipped over the biggest sports story of the day.
What?
Michael Jordan in NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised.
He's starting something new. I knew something was coming when Bubba Wallace dropped out of his team, last month, following the entire fiasco with the noose and all this stuff. And it appears that Michael Jordan and his billions of dollars wants to start betting on some NASCAR races. So why not bet on his own car?
Does he like NASCAR?
He likes betting, and I can tell you right now that if he owns a car, he's probably going to throw a lot of coin on it. He and Denny Hamlin have gotten together to put this new car, and they'll have Bubba Wallace as their first and only driver for next season. And then from there, we'll see if it garners more I'm not sure if Michael Jordan jumping into the fray will garner like a different type of fan for NASCAR.
Maybe that's ultimately his plan, is to grow it for that that certain demographic.
Maybe.
If you ever get involved in NASCAR, it's like tasting a fine wine. Once you taste fine wine, you don't want the $3 stuff.
Their TV numbers have been going up, so good for him. Good for
their ratings have?
Yeah, they did really well the last couple of things. I mean, over the last 10 years, I don't know how they've been.
And then finally, what I have today is an anniversary, actually. Is it, what, the 10-year anniversary? No, I'm sorry, 13-year anniversary of...
Much
celebrated. I'm a man! I'm 40!
Much celebrated 13th anniversary.
Yep. Just wanted to throw that one out there.
For Mike Gundy's I'm a Man, so he's 53, at least. See how quick I did that math? Are you impressed?
I guess he is.
There's a lot of Epstein-related news, and the first one today is that Bill Clinton had a secret dinner with Ghislaine Maxwell in 2014.
Was it secret? I mean, we've seen her in the audience at his daughter's wedding, so what would be so secret about that?
Well, yeah, you know, that's a good point, because TMZ had him, when he had this dinner, had him on video leaving, coming and going, but nobody really knew who she was. I mean, insiders knew who she was, but like the TMZ crowd wouldn't really know who Ghislaine is. But the whole story goes into how it's set up, and it was this dinner, and the group of people was really interesting. I'm trying to find the list of who was there. But nobody in the Clinton camp can say why she was there or what she was doing there and what the point is, and they all try to pass it off on someone else. They've squabbled over invitation because they knew all these links to Epstein. They continue to point fingers. Remember, I don't know if you remember the name Doug Band, who actually showed up on some of the manifests for Pedophile Island, not Pedophile Island, but the plane.
Doug Band?
Yeah, he showed up on a few of them. I think he was on the infamous Africa trip in 2002. Well, Band, when all this shit started happening, he's like, we are cutting ties with this lady. And he cut ties, but the second Band was not working for the Clintons anymore, they came back into the fold. It's really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. And the article, let's see, one more interesting part from the article. Ghislaine was close to Clinton and daughter Chelsea, went backstage at Clinton Global Initiative events, and even visited their homes. The source tells the Clintons should take responsibility for spending time with Maxwell, who allegedly offered Clinton hotel stays, air travel, and other largesses. He's one guy that loves freebies, but it's certainly not a good look for him that he's hanging out with Ghislaine in 2014 when everybody knew what a problem. He should have known what a problem she was in her connections to Epstein.
Is that the bigger issue because it was 2014? Because we see all these photographs of Epstein, and here he is with Donald Trump a million times. Here he is with Bill Clinton. But are we to assume that those photos were prior to that first, what was that deal that they made in 2009?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing to me is that they somebody in the camp cut off access because Chelsea got married in 2010. So after that, Band was like, no more of this lady. Epstein is poisoned.
Chelsea Clinton!
And then the second he's gone from the Clinton Initiative or whatever he was doing for the Clintons, they brought her back into the fold like 3 years later. Which is optically pretty fucking terrible.
Well, we're supposed to see the flight logs. We're supposed to see every single person. So there's got to be a lot of people freaking out about that. She's now been in jail for, what do you think, 2 months now?
Oh, God, it feels like forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I've lost track of time through 2020 because I forgot that Kobe, we were talking about him earlier. It's so crazy that he died this year. But she's been living a socialite, rich, wealthy life. Mm-hmm. Forever since she was born, and now these last couple of months she's thrown in the slammer. So I'm wondering how much she's spilling and how great this is all going to be when it comes blowing up in the end.
I wonder,
she's going to pull a Tekashi. She doesn't want to stay in prison, and she's got a whole bunch of charges against her.
What do they need from her?
Might have just time served. Excuse me.
What do they need from her? What can they get from her?
Well, you know,
what deal can she possibly make?
Obviously, there's conspiracy theories of who is involved in this. That you know that she has stated that to others that she has sex tapes of very prominent people, including politicians. Now, I don't think she's going to release that stuff like a Robert Kraft handjob video or anything like that.
Yeah, I guess, but it depends on what the FBI, you know, who else they're trying to take down. But, the top of it was Epstein, and, he offed himself. So who else is there to get?
Well, that's the thing. That works against Ghislaine in a sense, sure. Because somebody has to pay. People want to see justice for this atrocity. And right now, since she was the number two,
she's fucked.
She's the one that has to take it. Do you want to hear a boner line real quick?
Well, one more Epstein thing. I'm going to stack the Epstein stories. What do you think Jeffrey Epstein would watch for inspiration? To go about his day. What do you think he'd wake up in the morning, get on his exercise bike, he'd start pedaling, and he'd put something on TV to inspire him, according to a source. What do you think it was?
To get pumped up
for the day, while he's working out.
What kind of a morning show had young chicks on it? But I don't know.
He would watch Girls Gone Wild while he worked.
Oh, really?
While he worked out on the exercise bike to get inspired for the day. And I shouldn't laugh, but what a child this guy is. He's a fucking maniac.
Like, what, did he just have, the cassettes that he would just pop into the
VCR? Yeah, and he'd work out to it, and that would apparently get him pumped up.
Girl's gone wild, man.
Go ahead. Yeah, next, have a boner line. Yeah, first boner line in ages.
Shut up. No one's saying that at all.
Everyone is.
Hey, just calling me the boner line here to talk to myself since no one's listening.
Whiner.
And these calls will never be used for anything.
Man up. Stop crying.
I'm fascinated by the fact that Drew thinks the pattern of tones which play over the phone when you call a disconnected number are doo-doo-doo. That's not what it does. It goes doo-doo-doo, low, mid, high. That's very strange, but fascinating.
You got the wrong number, brother.
Brandon, right. September 17th, 2 hours, 26 minutes, and 40 seconds. I heard that. Nicely done.
I think people probably had a pretty good idea that he was married to Marla Maples at the time.
Stop ripping on Brandon's movie picks. He's got great choices. Sandlot, classic movie.
That's right.
Sidekicks, fucking great.
I agree.
Almost an Angel, so underrated.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep it up, Brandon. Don't listen to those dickheads.
Enough said, motherfucker. Holla.
I'm calling for a separated at birth. September 15th, 1 hour, 31 minutes, 37 seconds into the show. Mark's reaction to Mike Ditka backing into the car is separated at birth with Miss Mina.
And Mike just put it in reverse and went, whoom, bam!
Oh.
Here I am in the tight pants.
Oh.
I was listening to some old Drew and Mike archives, and I heard a drop I don't think anyone has mentioned yet. Homer Simpson, of course, where he goes,
Listen, shut up for a second.
This whole time, I thought Ricky Henderson was a guy who came to the United States to play baseball from another country. That's why his grammar was so messed up.
So she chose it, baseball.
I looked him up, and his ass was born in Chicago.
My first year in the minors league helped me develop my skill.
I have been a speech and language therapist for over 20 years.
20 years.
And I have never heard a pattern so messed up.
To all my beautiful and intelligent daughter.
Unless you have, a stroke or a brain injury or something.
A-Ron after my first 10 game, 25 run score.
Like, how does he not even just hear shit around him in his environment and realize, oh shit, I've been saying that wrong my whole life.
And 33 steal.
Mr. Drew Lane is inquiring about where Kirk Cameron is. So I'm a residential plumber.
Dang.
I passed through Richfield Township. There is a church that had a advertisement saying September 11th, see Kirk Cameron.
Hallelujah.
So he's doing the church circuit, man. I presume he goes there and he preaches and talks about growing pains. That's what Kirk Cameron's doing.
Wow, that sounds really compelling.
Hey, you guys were briefly talking about Sofa Chair the other day. They have a great song on a great underrated movie soundtrack, the Cable Guy soundtrack. They have a song called Blind. The song's awesome.
What's up, Silver
Chair?
Hear you guys talk about the O-ring on the Challenger, that's why it blew up.
Yeah.
Here's my O-ring story.
Okay.
A buddy of mine threw out a $250 power washer because it was leaking water all over the place. What? I went to Home Depot, spent $1.50 on two O-rings, replaced them, and then I got a $250 power washer for 39 cents for basically $1.50.
Oh, yeah, I got them in a box.
Are you guys talking about celebrity run-ins at places, you know, random places? Me and my dad went skiing in New Mexico. We had a layover in Houston, and who do you fucking think walks by? Goddamn Dan Marino. It was fucking awesome.
Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell.
Yeah, so that's the boner line number 146 without Drew, who's missed the last 83 boner lines.
God, those are some good ones. How many phone calls do you have to catch up on?
Let's see. Beep up. I still have about 74 that I need to go through and record, so that'll be fun to get through. They are great. I listen to every single one of them.
Shh, he's back. He's put his headphones on.
What happened?
Nothing.
I'll send you the boner line after the show today.
Oh, did you play the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the boner line about?
Lots of stuff.
Forgot.
But I found it interesting that one guy pointed out that Kirk Cameron, because you were wondering where he was, just did an appearance at a church in Michigan.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, just north of Davison.
He's an evangelical.
I mentioned there was a poll I wanted to get into because it was, I thought, very interesting. There's been a lot of polls lately about a lot of things, and I think there was a poll today about how many people think that the government should wait to nominate a Supreme Court justice.
Was it 60?
62% said yes, and I think 37% said no, and maybe there's 1%.
You know, went, what?
Exactly.
What's the Supreme Court?
And honestly, I thought that if I were advising Trump, I would advise him to wait because I'd
say, win.
I'd say, you know, I'm going to be a good sport about this, which you know, he wouldn't really be doing. He'd be doing it because I think it would inspire people to vote even more for him so that he gets to appoint the justice.
But he would get that anyway because he could say, hey, I appointed three. Give me four more years. Let's see how many more I can get in there.
I guess you could brag about.
Sure.
I don't know. I just think it's more incentive. Plus, the fact that 62% are saying, hey, you really should wait, maybe. I mean, who knows?
There are a lot of Trump voters that I know that's the one thing they just love about them is the Supreme Court nominations.
But that's luck.
Well, but still, that's it.
I mean, three people die or, you know, but retire.
But you got to have the person in there.
I don't give presidents credit for people dying. In fact, the whole system seems really dumb to me now.
I don't know why the life
business, and if the idea is to keep a balanced court, then there should be a way to keep a balanced court, not just hope that they die at the right time.
So I was thinking about this with the whole RBG dying wish. What if they just like cryogenically kept her alive, barely alive, because she would technically still be a Supreme Court?
Well, yeah, they could have. Couldn't they have kept her alive on machines or something?
Like a Terry Schiavo?
Yeah, just slow her body, slow
great
the body
reference,
down.
Brandon.
You know, keep her frozen or something, but yeah. Just enough that there's some register on an EKG.
It so, seems like
hey, she's still alive. She's still a judge.
It seems like they always can do that if, you know, if the family really wants to be alive.
Why?
But then some Republican would come in and pull the plug.
It'd be Trump.
What a concept. You but see two people fighting over the plug.
It really shows how stupid a lifetime appointment and anything is.
I'm picturing a group of people with baseball bats guarding the plug.
Just fighting as her body's flailed around.
I just like that there's this notion that, you know, if it tips one way or another, that the United States is just going to crumble because, oh my God, if you get X amount of this party, they're going to turn this country upside down.
Well, I mean,
I feel the same way, Brandon. I'm amazed when people get so wigged out. I'm trying to think of a Supreme Court decision that I went, oh my God, my life's been changed forever by this. And I'm not saying that no one's life is changed forever. I'm just saying that mine.
That's your white, straight male privilege.
Yeah.
Really?
Supreme Court is supposed to be, they're
supposed to follow the law. Shouldn't be in my favor.
No. They determine if a law is lawful.
Like, right. So why should it matter if they're Republican or Democrat? They should. The law is the law is the law. Well, it shouldn't be that fucking complicated.
My brother,
anybody on the right is going to always view it this way, and anybody on the left is going to view it this way. Isn't there enough commonality about the law that they should somewhat come to a consensus?
But it's not.
Why don't they meet like a jury and just come up with a joint decision?
There's some people that are hardline constitutionalists, and it's exactly what the framers meant it to be, and there's no diverging from it. Others feel that it's
a living document
that should be adjusted to people. You know, because in the beginning when they write it, all men are created equal. They're not talking about all men. They're talking about all land-owning white men, really.
Well, if there's that much play in it, then they should redo it. So there's not so much fucking play.
You want them to redo the Constitution?
Hey, they're all slaveholders. You want slaveholders determining the law?
That's kind of the point. Anyway.
No, I mean, tell me, when did the Supreme Court decision ever really change your life?
Citizens United? No?
What happened to your life? Tell me how your life was changed.
We're flooded with too many super PAC political ads.
How did it change your life?
Because there are all these super PAC political ads.
Okay, that's just an inconvenience. Brandon, has the Supreme Court changed your life?
Not at all. To tell you the truth, every once in a while, I kind of look to say, hey, who's on there? Oh, okay, that guy's still on there. One.
I do the same thing.
But I got one.
He's still alive. I didn't know that.
Is it California versus Pacifica? That's the seven words that helped create, the FCC.
Oh, the Carlin
oversight
thing?
Yeah. There you go. That changed your life. You didn't know it at the time.
Not really. I mean, what could I do otherwise? So I could say more words if they hadn't ruled that, or if they had ruled there was one word, I could say six more words. I mean, I don't know.
I really don't think
I'm
that,
not saying I have no respect for the fact that it can alter people's lives. Yeah. I'm just saying I just can't believe this many people, the amount of people that get wigged out over it.
Larry Flynn about the importance of the Supreme Court. Seriously.
Well, for Larry Flynn, it was important. I mean, that was because he's a guy that pushes prurient items. And I mean, that's a guy that's living on the edge. I mean, just regular people. And I know rulings have affected regular people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the amount of people that get like the Kavanaugh thing. I mean, the idea was that Kavanaugh is going to ruin your life. What has Kavanaugh done to ruin anyone's life?
The first week he was in, he ruled against Trump. It was like, oh, maybe he's not like this ultra right, like he'll do anything Trump says. The very first week he was in. I just don't know this guy worked his entire... It's the same thing with the Bill Gates and trying to take over the world and kill everybody with his vaccines. I don't think that all these people who dedicated their lives to law and justice in America and have propelled themselves to the Supreme Court... who cares what their party is? I don't think they're going to finally get there and be like, now to fuck over those poor people.
Yes. Now we got six of us here to fuck those lefties over.
That's not what it is. And it's same if it was the other way around. It's how they interpret a law. Like one of the big ones they're going to have is
well, the law is just too loose. That's what this tells me.
Well, the law is always too loose.
And the Kavanaugh thing did not help with how they approached that Kavanaugh thing and ripped him to shreds and did all this that and with Christine Blasey Ford and the hearings, and I think that pissed a lot of people off to the point where a lot of these senators are saying, you know what, I'm voting him through because of what you guys did to Kavanaugh.
Well, here's my biggest problem. Biggest problem with the Supreme Court justice, or anyone who wants to be Supreme Court justice, is that they're willing to put their family through that shit. That tells me they're not a very good person in the first place.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I'm being facetious, but honestly, anybody who wants to be Supreme Court justice, I can't imagine why you would want to put yourself or anyone through that, because it is just such a pile of bullshit.
You know what? There is a big case coming up. I forgot about this one. The one about the Affordable Care Act. So that will affect you.
Well, it'll affect people. It won't really affect me.
It will.
It's not going to bother me. How is it going to affect me? The death panels will take me out?
No, but... don't you have to pay a certain percentage in taxes for?
Yeah, I do.
So that will affect you if they.
It's not going to really alter my life. I mean, if it comes down to those few thousand dollars that I lose in taxes, and I, you know, my last month of my life's like, fuck, if I only had a couple thousand bucks.
Well, but if there are people that need health care and then can't get it because the ACA
I want people
is,
to have health care, so
well,
I you
so
know
there you
I,
go.
I am sympathetic on their behalf, absolutely. And I hope that this stacked Supreme Court isn't out to screw people.
Well, it's not about screwing people. It's how they interpret, getting rid of the individual mandate, does that invalidate?
If they interpret the law in a way that screws people, then they are out to screw people. In my opinion,
I think their decisions affect you more than you think.
Well, I believe me, I would not.
I think that they're important decisions. I just don't think that they're evil. I don't think that they're you know, out to destroy the country, which is what each side seems to think whenever a new one goes in there.
Well, according to the two candidates, if either person wins, the country is in ruination. Yeah. This is the most important election of our lives because if either guy wins, we are complete devastation will occur. And that, to me, is so fucking crazy to campaign that way. It tells me that they're crazy.
Same with what Brandon was just saying. No, but I mean, the way they interpret the law is vastly different than what it would have been in the past. I mean, there hasn't been a conservative court in about the last 100 years.
Well, I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think of a Supreme Court ruling that was just nutty. Like the court was not in balance, and they came up with something absolutely nutty that completely fucked the country over.
How about all those gays getting married? I'm just kidding. I mean, do you ever think you would see that? And that was, you know, is it Kennedy that went the way that surprised everybody?
Yes, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, well, they didn't fuck the country over. I don't think they fucked the country over.
No, I think most people see now that
decision you can think of where the entire history of the next 20 years is fucked?
The worst one that recently, they did was probably the Japanese internment camps.
Well, didn't they have a bad one with, was it pre-Dred Scott? Wasn't there a slavery one around, whatever.
Oh, yeah, Plessy versus Ferguson.
Brown versus Board of Education.
Yeah, I mean, they've made some mistakes.
I mean, we're getting into such geek territory here. I mean, that's 70 years ago, 65 years ago. I'm not saying it, you know, I wouldn't want them to always make the right decision, but I'm with Brandon. I don't think these people are out to fuck the country, and if they are...
No, I don't think they're inherently evil and want to make evil decisions.
I mean, okay, I'll put it this way. I'm not afraid if there are too many Democrats in the Supreme Court. I'm not afraid if there's too many Republicans. I think I'll get through somehow. Mm-hmm.
But I will say that when you have...
I'm not going to be out screaming at some, you know, counter-protesters or protesters. I just feel like I'll get by. There are other things
When you have the audio of all these guys going, I wouldn't do this in 4 years if, you know, if it happened the other way around. That's why I'm saying, you know.
Those people are all scarier because they're all saying the opposite of what they said 4 years ago.
Yeah,
Every one of them. Yeah. I mean, those people scare me more. But
so
I'm not
I understand
really
why people
either.
Are mad about it.
I mean, it's such a pile. Government is just such a monster. It's like the blob. I don't think anyone can turn the blob too far in the other direction. Because
checks
it's just a
balances,
big blob.
Bro.
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to work out that way.
A big blob can change if someone's in control of all of them, which is what the Democrats have threatened if they have control of all of the two main bodies, legislative and executive.
Well, I'm not going to let them fuck me over. I'll get through. I'll make it. I will not expire over what party is in control. I promise you that. But, you know, I'm sure some people... Some people feel that they will. Some people feel if Trump wins, the country will. Somebody today was saying there will be a race war if Trump wins. Oh, I know who it was. Okay, let me do the poll, because this poll was kind of interesting. It was a USA Today Ipsos poll, and 64% said they believe that cities are being overwhelmed by protesters. And Republicans, 83%, Dems, 48%, which is a pretty significant number. 59% believe that people in cities, 59% of people that live in cities agree that cities are being overwhelmed by protesters and the resulting activity. 71% who live in rural areas feel that way. So more people outside the city feel that way than people inside the city, but still 59% of people in cities. Yesterday, the Department of Justice labeled New York, Portland, and Seattle anarchist jurisdictions, which sounds pretty dramatic. The message was, get your cities under control or we will withhold federal aid, which in New York City is what, $7.5 billion, I think. But and the wording was, state and local leaders have impeded their own law enforcement officers and agencies from doing their jobs. And the example, and I saw multiple examples, but the best example, I guess, was when they had the mayor of Seattle made the police leave the police station rather than actually encounter the people that were threatening the police station. And the autonomous zone, and there were other examples given. I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm just telling you how this was worded. They also, did Bill Barr write this, or I'm assuming Bill Barr?
Department of Justice, yeah.
He said that they also have forcefully rejected federal law enforcement support in order to quell some of this activity. Also in the USA Today poll, 56% believe the government should deploy more law enforcement to get protests and unrest under control, and 54% said Americans should arm themselves to protect their property. And that number doesn't surprise me at all. 63% believe assaults on police have gotten worse. 49% say assaults by the police is worse. And this was, I think, probably more interesting than any of these numbers. Oh, there were some other numbers on relating to the anarchist jurisdictions. New York crime, property crimes are up 286%. Seattle's crime rate in the area designated for protesting is up 525%. And those are some of the things that were cited in that ruling. But I doubt that federal aid will be withheld from any of these three cities. Isn't this just a big kind of a bullshit thing just to say, look what we're doing?
Say that again?
I don't think the feds will actually withhold money from these three cities. Maybe they will.
I'd be surprised if they do, and it actually works well for the re-election, you know, the law and order and getting the suburban.
Right. It's all about getting re-elected. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
But I don't want to be that cynical about it. I think they do believe it.
Yeah, they probably do believe it to some degree.
The threat of withholding money. I mean, we've seen the Trump administration threaten to withhold money from lots of places, you know, schools even, so...
Now the
seems to be a little empty at this point.
Government.
The numbers on what is the number one issue to voters. Crime has moved up to number two, which it was not. I don't think it was even in the top five. I can't remember the length of time ago. Maybe it was 18 months ago. And coronavirus is number one, but crime is not far behind. Crime is the number one issue with 34% of voters.
This is outrageous criminal activity.
Coronavirus is number one with 44%.
You watch. One month from now, those will flip-flop.
Well, it depends on what goes on. You know, Louisville is very concerned about this. There's going to be some kind of Breonna Taylor announcement regarding the case. Yeah. And they have riot prep going on. They're going to literally cut off access to the city of Louisville to avoid what they're...
Smart.
I don't know if they know what is coming or they don't know what is coming, but...
Smart. I mean, they've had protests.
It kind of sounds like with what they're doing when they're wrapping up... they're wrapping with plastic wrap. Pretty much anything that could be moved. They're preparing for what seems to be no charges in this Breonna Taylor.
Well, if that's the case, I think there's more to worry about than Louisville, but we'll see.
They've had, isn't Louisville where they had the two protests face off against each other, too?
I don't know. I haven't really heard that much about Louisville itself.
Wasn't it during the Kentucky Derby when that was going on, that they had one protest and a counter protest? And
yeah, I mean, I don't recall it exactly, but I'm sure you're probably right.
Regardless of what the decision is, it's just smart to be prepared.
Yeah. USA Today Ipsos poll also asked people what has made protests so dangerous. Number one, the mainstream media. Number two, the Black Lives Matter movement. Number three, Trump. Number four, Antifa. Number five, conservative militias. And number six, conservative media. Republicans, 81% said BLM makes protests more dangerous. 41% of Democrats said that BLM makes protests more dangerous. That number surprises me a little bit, but... I mean, it's still double from the right. So anyway, in this story, I meant to send you this name, Brandon, Cornelia Cheatham of Kyle, Texas. Can you look up and see if she can find her number? It's Cornelia and spelled C-H-E-A-T, just like the word cheat. Cheat Ham, H-A-M. Cornelia, C-O-R-N-E-L-I-A. She's in Kyle, Texas. It was kind of funny because they were quoting certain people that had been polled, and they always seemed to quote the people who were most dramatic. And Cornelia said, if Trump wins, everything will have been stripped away from us. The way he's dividing the nation, everybody's going to get guns, and they'll shoot you on sight. That's if Trump wins. She says if Biden wins, he will bring everyone together. If Biden loses, there will be a race war.
And that's why you see the kind of ads we see.
Yes. So that's Cornelia Cheatham of Kyle, Texas. Is she listed, perchance? I thought she'd be interesting to see what makes her so confident. And
I was losing my mind today because there's a story about Prince Andrew. Did you see the story about Prince Andrew?
I don't think I saw that today.
So here's the headline. A bombshell book alleges Prince Andrew is, quote, a sex addict and a daring lover, according to women who claim they were intimate with the British royal.
A daring lover? He's not a tender lover? Who's the tender lover we were talking about the other day?
I remember.
Somebody's
John Legend.
Oh, yeah, John Legend. He just takes his time. There's so much love. There's so much making out and kissing. And
just cancel any really beautiful plans. Yeah, it takes forever. No afternoon delight with him. He needs his time.
Well, he's a tender lover.
So here's the next sentence, and this is where I went, what? Author Ian Halperin will release Sex, Lies, and Dirty Money by the world's powerful elite Thursday. Said he talked to at least a dozen of Andrew's alleged former flames. And I believe it with knowing the past history of Ian Halperin, quite possibly one of our top four authors of all time that we've ever interviewed, and easily the best glasses owner in the world.
Oh, yeah, he looks so wild. Glasses change everything for Ian Halperin.
So he writes, most women painted Andrew as a perfect gent and said it was consensual. One woman said he was a very daring lover. There were no limits to where he would go in bed. Sounds like he's a member of the Starfish.
I was going to say, maybe Jeffrey Felix and him have exchanged sex tips.
She told me, Andrew rocked my world in the bedroom. But she felt disappointed because after that, she never heard from him again.
Oh, H&D.
Halperin continues, one of Andrew's ex-lovers said he had a sex addiction because he was always second to Prince Charles. He compared his relationship with his brother to William and Harry. William's looked at as royal material, just like Charles, whereas he and Harry were the bad boys. This led to his playboy lifestyle. He wasn't getting enough attention, and it made him feel special.
But I thought he was mommy's favorite.
Women in his bed. Yeah, well, you argue with Halperin.
He is mommy's favorite. But it doesn't seem to be enough because Charles is next in line.
And then he writes a little bit about Epstein, but I'm losing my mind because I cannot find a phone number or a contact or anything for our old friend Ian Halperin.
There's technically not a publisher, right?
No.
Publishing it himself?
Yeah, it's not.
That's terrible. Why would nobody publish his book? His books do well.
The last couple books he's put out are just like Kindle basis, or I don't know, maybe he makes more money bypassing a publisher.
Wow.
I don't know. But
that could be.
I've made it my mission to track down Ian and get him on because he really is such a good guest and a fun writer.
He's just a lot of fun. His Jackson books, his Kardashian book.
His Nirvana book was great, the one about Kurt Cobain.
He's a great writer.
I think that's called Love and Hate.
And Jeffrey Perlman has a book, too, so we should have Perlman on.
Yeah, I emailed Perlman. That's one about, it's called Three Ring Circus, about Kobe Shaq and Phil Jackson. It really sounds like Kobe and Shaq hated each other more than we even realized they hated each other.
Kobe!
I never understood that either.
And that broke up when the word Kobe basically said, I ain't playing with that motherfucker again. And that was the end of it. That was the break.
Well, so they had to decide, are we going to ride it out with Kobe or are we going to ride out with Shaq? And they picked Kobe.
Yep. Isn't that crazy? There's another story, too, of him punching a teammate because he said something like, I make this shot, you owe me $1 million, like a half-court shot, and Kobe drained it. And he goes, where's my money? And the guys go, I don't have $1 million. And he punched him.
He punched him?
Yeah.
He really wanted $1 million. So Kobe was going to pay him if he didn't make it.
Apparently.
Yeah, right.
And then Shaq was telling, I forget the player's name who got punched, but Shaq was like, man, you gotta get him back. You got to fuck him up. Tell him to go fight Kobe.
What?
Yes. So this player.
He wanted the guy to fight Kobe over $1 million?
Yeah, and he demanded the bus get stopped.
So the guy could punch Kobe out?
So him and Kobe could go fight on the side of the road. And then it turns out Kobe ended up calling him and leaving him a tear-filled apology.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
It'll be the worst move the Lakers ever did in their life, and they'll never win another championship. Guaranteed.
You know, it surprises me that Kobe would have so lost himself in himself that he wouldn't see the value of keeping Shaq around to win a championship.
That's a good point.
But on the other hand, Kobe Bryant I just see Kobe Bryant and LeBron James as being not on different planets, but Kobe is the guy who you want taking that big shot at the end of the game. Kobe is the guy who is going to drive his team some way. He's going to do whatever it takes to win. And LeBron has the talent to do the same thing, but LeBron just doesn't have the, I don't know why, but he just doesn't seem to make the big shots all the time.
At least he knows to keep his friends around to win championships.
But he's lost more than he's won. Hasn't he 3-6 in the finals? He's always in the finals.
Yeah, but he's not. Is he going to run off teammates like Kobe did to Shaq?
No, I don't think so, but I still feel like if it's all on the line, I want Kobe to have the ball, not LeBron. I would rather have Kobe have the ball than LeBron. LeBron's certainly not a bad choice, but yeah. I would rather have Kobe.
Well, if those are your two choices, sure.
And Jordan, I would pick over both of them.
Yeah. Can't argue that.
Isaiah Thomas just came out and said that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is number one, but LeBron James maybe will surpass him. And he obviously left Jordan completely out of that conversation.
What an Isaiah, said that? What an Isaiah thing to say.
Isaiah?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't like Michael Jordan. LeBron reminds me of Wilt Chamberlain, because Wilt Chamberlain, when I was growing up, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in a game. Mm-hmm. He averaged 50 points a game one year. Mm-hmm. 50 points a game and didn't win the championship. He did win a championship with the 76ers in 1967. What a team that was. Billy Cunningham, Chet Walker, a lot of other people you would have never heard of, most of you. And then as Wilt's athleticism and age, you know, was starting to take a toll on him, he went to the Lakers, and then he was part of, you know, that team with Jerry West and Gail Goodrich, and he won another championship with the Lakers. But if you look at that period and you go, gee, I wonder who won more championships, Bill Russell or Wilt Chamberlain?
Yeah, Russell.
Bill Russell won 9 in 11 years. Wilt won 2 in his entire career. And Bill Russell probably averaged 12 points a game in his career.
Yeah, no one ever talks about Bill Russell being one. See, it's not always about the rings, though. It's about who you're surrounded by.
Well, I think people do make it about the rings. But
sure,
I just
but
don't.
Nobody
think
ever says Bill Russell's the greatest player ever.
Oh yeah, he was. He always got
well,
a lot
one
of credit,
them. But
I think.
They don't say he's like, nobody ever includes him now in the conversation. Doesn't he have the most rings?
I believe he does, unless it's John Havlicek or one of those other Celtics guys. He was on a great team, and they were a team. The Celtics were a unique franchise at that time. I don't know what they're like now. They just got championship.
What do you mean, man? They could be in the finals. What's Celtics-Lakers again?
Where's that series? It's not a sports podcast, by the way.
Isn't it still 2-0 Miami?
Yeah. I mean, I thought Miami was going to win.
Miami's, God, that's a fun team to watch.
Who cares?
Oh! Thanks,
hey,
Mel.
I did grab
I think I would rather see Miami in the finals.
Oh, then the Celtics? 100%. Yeah. No doubt.
When do the Lakers play again?
Tonight against the Denver NBA team.
I always want to say, where's the game?
I know, Orlando.
I'll try to say
we're
that.
All in Orlando.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Who's got home court advantage? It's Orlando.
Okay, so there was another... is there anything major that we've missed today? I was so hung up on this 500 Rolling Stones songs or albums that I felt like I was missing stuff.
Nah. I did grab a few numbers for Cornelia, but I haven't...
Oh, let's do that. Let's get the Hall Financial Hotline fired up, and let's call Cornelia. If this race war is going to happen, I want to know. I want to know. I want to understand this. And if Biden's going to bring us together, I want to understand that, too. But Cornelia says that people are going to be shot on sight and that everybody's going to get guns. So, I mean, I got to be prepared for this. This is going to happen.
Where's she from again?
Kyle, Texas.
Oh, balls. All right. I was looking for a song for Kyle, Texas.
I'm excited that Biden's going to bring everyone together because I didn't know anybody could do that.
Three numbers.
Dude.
What's the percentages, Brandon?
First one is 80%. Second one, it drops to a measly 40%.
Well, let's see. I like my odds with 80.
Come on, Cornelia. Come on. She's just not picking up. Gosh. She doesn't want to have to answer. No.
Is there a Cornelia song?
Yeah, this one. It's her favorite one.
What, she apparently has no voicemail set up at all? How do you do that?
Austin, Massachusetts.
Maybe she's on the phone with another pollster.
Let's try the 40% one, because that's still 4 out of 10. That's weird. We're one of the 2 out of 10 calls that she doesn't answer.
Because everything's bigger and better in Texas. This Lone Star's got to go.
Survivor.
Check the number and try again.
Oh!
It's definitely that third number then.
What's the chance on the third number, Brandon?
8%.
8%. Oh,
that boy. First one's her. She's just not picking up.
We've been so unlucky in the other two, though. I got to believe the 8% is going to come through. It's going to hit.
Yeah.
Is that how odds work?
Yes. That's how it works.
Or is unavailable.
It's definitely
please
that first number.
Customer care for
it just kept ringing.
Damn it.
WA0.
There were some other crazy things being said in that story.
I'm sorry.
I should have looked up more names than Cornelia, but oh well. We'll try her back.
We'll try her back.
Well, on the first number.
That first number.
I mean, nobody
totally
answered. That's got to be somebody's number.
More than any other Will Forte number.
Any other Cornelias or Cornelius or.
Should we try Chuck Norris back? So confident in it.
He's never going to answer that phone.
What? Why not?
Okay, try it. I'll go for it. You really think it's his phone number?
I kind of do.
Why would he be listed?
Chuck Norris?
Hey, what was on the agenda with Chuck Norris? I forgot.
They were suing over that ED story.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Chuck Norris?
Hey, and I'm impressed if Chuck has come up with something that keeps him excited. I think that's great. But... he was saying he wasn't happy about it, was he?
That's up for Chuck Norris, star of Sidekicks.
Hell yeah, superstar.
Yeah, Chuck Norris, you're a good tough guy. You're
the Chucker.
Man, you're a martial arts legend, and your name is Chuck Norris. You're a Walker, Texas Ranger, and everybody.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Yeah. All right, Chuck Norris. Best movies, go.
To ever walk on the earth.
Wrong. Lone Wolf McQuaid, number one. Delta Force, two. Invasion USA, three. Missing in Action, four. The Expendables, two.
What are you talking about?
Bells of Innocence, Sidekicks, Code of Silence, Firewalker. I'm talking about the badass movies.
You even mentioned
Chuck
the Bruce Lee one.
The Octagon, Silent Rage.
Hey, what's up with this? Brandon, you have a social security number, didn't you? Was that yesterday?
Did.
Is it worth a try?
I've gotten sent like a million of them. If you guys get a social security number that's a 248-810-586 number, don't send it to us. Because what that is it's a way that they mask it to send to you, and then they expect you to either hit one or call back, and then they will explain. So if you have a 586 number that's an IRS scam and you give it to us and we call it, it's going to go to somebody who has a 586 number. It's not... I got about 14 of them in the last 3 or 4 days. I tried calling the first three, and it's actual people going, hello? No, this is, no, I'm not IRS.
But you sent a number yesterday. I just wondered if that was, did you think that was a good number?
The one that I sent, was that yesterday? Okay.
I thought you did.
This one's from
we didn't call a number,
yeah,
did we?
Right here, Mark.
And I call it?
And it called, it worked yesterday when I called.
Hang on, leave that one up there.
I think there might be some breaking news.
What is it?
Air Force 2 hits bird after taking off from New Hampshire.
was Sully flying?
Please check the number and try.
Oh,
yep.
Nice.
See,
Air Force 2 Vice President Mike Fensenbord had to return to New Hampshire Airport after a bird hit the plane, according to several news. Well, so fire the pilot. Yeah. Why doesn't he avoid the bird?
Probably Sully.
So leaving Manchester, Boston, our jet apparently hit a bird.
Pence.
Yeah, I met that guy. He's not that great. You know what a great pilot would have done? Not hit the birds. That's what I do every day. Not hit birds. Where's my ticket to the Grammys?
This is so utterly stupid. Mike Pence was not hurt.
Was his hair messed up?
I don't think so.
Did mother comfort him?
Possibly.
Hey, did mother have a makeover? She looked totally
different
the
better.
Other day when I
she
saw
does.
Her.
You know what I was going to say, though, about the IRS and the Social Security numbers? Of Drew, please come up with a new fake name. Hugh Jeppinus is clearly burnt. Why is it burnt?
Because apparently there's circle slashes, a picture of Hugh Jeppinus and his name on there.
Here's some, let's see, Kevin says Jackson Meo, Jackson, Jax, M-E-O-U-G-H, Jackson, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Hey, would you blow
Jackson
me?
Jackson Meoff.
Jack me off. Oh, I see. Jackson me off. How about Jack me off? Al kill you.
Me off.
Curse.
Howie Felder snatch. Huge anus.
Ew.
Huge anus.
Huge anus. Cameo is played out.
Yeah, funny name, huh?
Oh, thanks for jumping in there, Gary. You just bitch about Cameo.
What are you reading? Who are these
people?
Oh,
that's weird. They're bitching on email, too? That's weird.
No, this is on Facebook. Hugh Yardon. That's pretty good. Pat Maez.
That's a great one.
Harry Balzania. Dixie Rect. DixiWrect. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Thurston Forbush. Brian, I should make Thurston Forbush the third. Sounds right. Oh, that's a good idea. Let's dip into the tube bar with Stu Pitt.
Bush.
Stu Pitt.
Dangly Sack. I get it. Sum Ting Wong.
Oh, yeah.
Holy fuck.
We Too Low. Holy fuck. Ding Tang Ow.
We Too Low.
Ty.
Tim there?
Who?
Tim. I'm not open here, my friend.
12
o'clock, we open.
Oh, right.
Hello. Hello. Is Alan?
Al,
am I
there? No. Alcoholic.
Stupid.
Alcoholic.
Your balls out.
Oh, man. My two favorite lines are, I put the ZZs on you.
What the fuck is that mean?
I don't know, but then the other one is, you ain't even got no $100. So dismissive.
Let's see. Says some names here. The scammers are about to talk back and drops. The name is so burnt. What? Get out of here, Scott. Someone even said, Trudy says it's played out. When did Trudy say that? Bit of
everyone hates burnt. Everything.
Justin, your mouth. your mouth. Your mouth. That's not bad. Justin, your mouth. Richard Throbin. Dr. Rosen Penis. Howard Felter Snatch. Barry McCockiner. Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's good.
B-A-R-R-Y-M-C, capital C, O-C-K-I-N-E-R. Barry McCockiner. Harry Balzania. Were you molesting yourself when you posted this? No, I was in the land of big titties and camel toe. Ugh. Japanese is played out.
Are you molesting yourself now?
Mike Hunt. Yeah, like that's not played out. John, Jeff.
The home of big titties and camel toe.
Mike Hunt is still a classic.
I don't know. Just let her mean.
We should try calling real but funny names again, although they're kind of harder to find now.
I know. It's hard to get a resident. It's hard to get a landline. Yeah. Pete goes in
you. Fuck you.
Peter
fuck
goes
you.
In you. Okay.
I mean, if it wasn't for real but funny names, we never would have ran into Mrs. O'Twat.
Oh, man.
I am not a twat.
Those were some great calls.
I am not a twat.
Well, that certainly doesn't make your vagina sound very appealing.
Okay, today also.
Oh, Jesus.
Brandon.
Be proud of yourself.
What happened today?
Oh.
We passed 200,000 coronavirus deaths.
Oh, we've been way past that.
Didn't we just pass yesterday or today?
Officially, yeah.
Yesterday, there was some ugliness over the two-month-old that the doctor at Governor Whitmer's press conference declared a coronavirus death, and the dead baby's mother was livid. Even though, for some reason, the baby and the mother both were not identified, but the mother knew the references to her child. The child was born with terribly compromising health issues, intestines outside the body, for starters. So, I don't know what, if anything's come of that. Have they apologized, this lady, or anything? Or are they just saying, fuck you?
I don't know. I doubt it, and doubt they apologize.
However, the 200,000, it is a huge number, but the way it breaks down, 29% of the deaths are 85 years old or older. 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you want 86-year-olds to die a day sooner, but just saying, 25% are 75 to 84.
Goddamn coronavirus.
Almost 50,000 are 75 to 84. 20% are 65 to 74. So almost 75% of the deaths are 65 years of age and older. How many do you think are below the age of 35? Which?
Five.
No, it's more than that.
10.
No.
Are we talking percent or what?
No. The total number.
I have no idea.
1,805 are below 35 years old. I don't know what I thought that number would be, but it just seemed extremely low. Plus, most of them are people who have compromised situations. It doesn't mean they would die. 35 to 54, there are 13,300.
COVID-19 is a scam.
360. So if you go below 54 years old or under, it is about 15,000 people have died that are 55 and under. The rest are all over 55. But it's still a very big number.
COVID-19 is a power grab hoax.
And it was pretty much the, I guess, no, RPG was probably the lead story, but it was a big story this morning. Brandon was kind to send that picture of Donatella Versace in a bikini.
I just thought you guys might need a boner today.
I'm sorry, I mean a bikini. I almost didn't want to read that story because I had to say the word bikini.
Swimsuit.
And then I was getting this. People were sending this wildly as I was getting ready to wrap up the Rolling Stone 500. I was furiously trying to write down the top 100 albums. Alyssa Milano called 911.
Oh yeah,
which it's a bit ironic because she has been wildly demanding the defunding of police, of LAPD, and. There's some specifics in terms of what she's demanding. It's pretty dramatic, though, in terms of altering the law enforcement. But it's with some irony that I report that she called 911 because she believed there was a gunman on her property.
Yeah, I want to hear the 911 call because the response of the Ventura County Sheriff's is insane. They sent a police helicopter.
They sent a police helicopter.
She told them there was an active shooter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is she going to be charged?
I don't know what they do with that.
I don't know how you charge her. She legitimately thought it was an active shooter.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
It was a teenager with an air gun.
It was a squirrel hunter.
Yeah. Yes. A teen with an air gun. So, I don't know if she ever was highly critical of the police. I mean, that's one of the big stories. Wasn't that 12-year-old had an air gun in Cleveland?
Yeah,
that sucked.
No, it was terrible. It was horribly. It was horrible. I don't think that has anything to do with. I don't even know what that. I can't even remember the story very well. What happened? Why did they shoot the kid?
They have the video of that. So the kid gets called on police called because there was a kid walking around with a gun.
Which, by the way, that is a big part of the problem. When people start calling 911 saying, "There's an active shooter in my yard."
Yeah, of course.
Now, this kid, it was a toy gun, right? And when the police Was it an airsoft or a
BB?
I don't
know. You know what? It looked like a gun. It did look like a gun.
Yeah, it didn't have the orange tip on it, though. That's what I thought, unless I'm confusing my gun stories. But I do know, based on the video, that as soon as the police rolled up, there were no questions asked. They pulled up, they got out, and they shot, and they took the kid out. And so that was a big story in Cleveland.
What was the kid doing, though? Was the kid pointing the gun at them?
He was just playing.
There's a video of it, isn't there? I haven't seen
it. I just
cannot remember the video or what the circumstances were. I mean, it was
Tamir
obviously
Rice?
Horrible.
Yeah, Tamir Rice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is surveillance of it, yeah.
Because he's like in a shed, isn't he? Or from what I remember, you know, like at a park, you have those sheds.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled up right up on that next to that shed.
But
did
the
they
caller
ask him to drop?
Say,
they didn't ask him to drop the gun or anything.
I don't know.
It is worth noting the caller to 911 said, "Hey, the gun's probably fake." He said that twice, just so you guys know. You know, but you know, just.
Nice job.
Things happen.
Did you see they released the video of the, remember that autistic guy I was telling you about? That Salt Lake City, they put him down. 13-year-old.
Oh, I think
kid.
I saw that.
Video,
yeah.
Yikes. You'll be glad to know Alyssa Milano just did an Instagram Live an hour ago. Do you think she addressed it?
Let's hear what she said. Let me just finish the story. The Ventura County Police sent 7 police cars, 1 canine unit, a police helicopter, and there was actually a fire department vehicle that was parked down the street. They searched for 3 hours for the gunman. And at this point, I guess this teenager realized what was going on and turned himself in and said, "Yes, I had an air gun and I did shoot at a couple squirrels."
So here's the first couple comments before I play Alyssa Milano's live Instagram. The first one is, "You shouldn't be allowed to use our law enforcement since you want to defund the police. Use your husband as your protector." The next one, MAGA Trump 2020. Next one, "Hey, Alyssa, how does it make you feel being so on board to defund the police movement and you called the cops on a teenager with an airsoft pistol?" Next one, "Stop calling the cops on children, Karen." Next one, "When scared, you call for the police." Next one, "Would you let Biden watch your daughter, Alyssa?" Next one, "Trump 2020. It's just all people trying to troll her. That's it. "Did you call a social worker?" Next one, "Defund the celebrities." Next one, "Trump 2020. Can we talk about the 9/11 squirrel shooter call first?" So hopefully.
So she has a lie. Can we hear it?
Yeah, it's playing. Remember, she has to start up and wait for people to populate.
What's today, Tuesday?
Yeah, idiot.
Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, hello. How are you? Hi, hi. I see you all joining. Quiet. Thank you.
I love this part, the awkward part.
This is going to be a really special Instagram live. Under the series of Joe Talks for Joe Biden. Whom I love. And by the way, National Voter Registration Day today.
I'm
please,
so
if you are not registered to vote, go to.
I'm stunned that actress like her would actually be satisfied with this sort of attention. I would think she'd be bored shitless.
So today we are going to.
I guess she just cares a lot more than me.
We are going
I'm bored and I've been bored all morning.
Urquiza. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
She'll probably have more people on. She'll probably have like.
She's the co-founder.
Three
of
times
Mark
what Joe Rogan has on her Instagram pretty soon.
Only 48,000 views.
And an advocate.
Is she going to talk about calling the police?
That's
yawn.
That is still so annoys me that 48,000 people would listen to this dope.
She's got her boobs on display. Do you think she's going to be at the next
maybe that's
Supreme
why.
Court
hopefully.
Hearing? She better be.
Deputy director of Mighty Earth. After her
you must
dad
be the most boring woman on earth.
COVID in June, she
that's
wrote
a pretty dramatic cleavage
obituary.
Shot for an Instagram live from
it's
about
a good
politics.
Thing you have a nice rat because you sure are boring to talk to.
Pretty nice. All right, I'm just going to jump ahead. Let's see where we are.
Skyrocketing numbers and the consistent
and the
downplaying.
Testing yeah. alone. I mean, I had COVID in March and April, and I've never been so sick in my
COVID
entire
again.
Life.
Oh, her hair was falling out.
I had
out the
two
trait.
Negative COVID tests.
Wow.
Before. I mean, it was in the beginning. When
How'd
we
she
were
get COVID, by the way?
Whole,
why
like,
is she making it about her when she's got the guest on to talk about this?
And all of that. So I don't know if that was the reason, but it was terrifying to know.
Do we want to hear your story, Alyssa, or your guests?
Like, we just didn't have leadership.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, I'm jump
wow, nobody said this. I mean, this is new ground she's breaking.
So disheartening to
18
me
minutes
that
in now.
This is happening right now. Although I do have to tell you that Kamala being nominated for vice president feels like a select. Monumental landmark.
Oh, it's huge.
Everybody's
right?
still awaiting.
Again, she's saying things no one has said yet.
All right, let's jump
That's forward. Really cool.
We're at minute 24.
With every single person who ever said that, because it does matter. Your voice matters. And the more that you use your voice, the more you'll find confidence in it and really understand the things that you love.
Come on, Alyssa, tell us how you have used your voice.
I think voting is...
Oh, Lord, lady.
I didn't vote this year.
I mean, isn't it amazing that 48,000... Is it 48,000 still?
Yeah, 48,000.
48,000 people want to hear this?
40,000 are trolls.
1,000%.
Any more comments?
Well, the most important thing, just vote. Just do it.
Just
do
it. Are there any other of Joe and Kamala's policies that you're really excited about?
I would be so bored with my vagina. Anyone's policies.
Chatting about?
I would love. No. I don't know if you've dug too much into their public health job corps. I think
No one has.
No,
wow, look how wet Alyssa just got.
Response plan, and especially since you know I've been so active in the COVID space, it's
I got to become more wonky.
No, you don't.
Really, really great. Mark Kelly is such a great
I'm going to play a song as a music bed
actually...
for this.
Oh, yeah, I'm listening to a boring story. Oh, yeah, it's very, very, very boring. I've got to get out of this conversation. What's wrong with this horrible person?
Wearing a mask should not be a political statement.
Right. It's like wearing a safety belt or taking off your shoes
right.
before going onto the airplane.
Saving the planet.
Yes.
Should not be a political.
Okay, green lady.
Well, she's really, again, breaking a lot of new ground there. I hadn't heard any of that type of conversation about anything. So good for her.
Who's the boss coming back?
Soon, right?
Is that going to bomb, do you think?
No.
Not really. Please, you just say it will bomb and then tell me when it's over, so I even no matter how long it takes.
Have you guys ever heard of Tyrell Crosby from the Detroit Lions?
I don't believe so.
He was her previous guest, and I've never heard of him.
He was her previous guest?
Yeah.
Oh, was that her podcast on Instagram?
Well, she does these on Instagram all the time.
You know, I actually listened to her podcast because I was trying to find something for Carl, and he was checking a few out, and... Her podcast was so dreadful. I didn't feel it was even there was no ability to even make fun of it or or get clips from it. There was just nothing. It was just dreadful. It was just boring.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, if they were trying to peak the boring meter, they were doing a great job.
Once again, it's Samantha from Who's the Boss. I don't know why anybody would want to listen to her about those topics.
Oh, she was on wasn't she on Charmed too?
Oh yeah, that's
and
right.
And she actually had a significant entertainment career. That's why I'm amazed though that she has taken this route. But I mean, it is a thing. It's a thing to do. She has followers, so I guess she can probably get sponsored posts and make money doing that if she can.
I'm glad she's happy. Oh wait, she's
I think
never
people
happy.
Just want to see Danza.
Yeah, where's Danza? Hey, Danza.
Yeah.
Yeah, Danza.
I haven't seen him since Angels in the Outfield, another great, fantastic movie.
The other thing about Alyssa Milano, is this another one of your recommendations, Brandon?
It's got Gordon Joseph Levitt
Joey
and
Levitt.
Christopher Lloyd and...
Angels in the Outfield? It's a baseball movie?
Matthew McConaughey is in it and Danny Glover.
Movie?
Yeah, there's so many famous
How
people
old
in
is it.
God. I don't know why you never watch any of the most famous baseball movies in history.
Want to guess but, its Rotten Tomato score, Drew?
Yeah, I was just going to look it up, but I'll guess.
Because I keep in mind, Matthew McConaughey's in it.
What year was this
Matthew
out?
McConaughey is also in one of the worst movies ever, right? Isn't he? Isn't he in Tiptoes?
Dallas Buyers Club? Is that what you're talking about?
What year did this movie come out?
In 1994, it's a remake of the 1951 version of Angels in the Outfield.
Dermot Mulroney's in it.
I'm going to say Rotten Tomatoes is a 42.
Adrian Brody's in it.
Are we talking about critics or are we talking about fans?
I'll say...
Let's do critics first. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'll 42? Say the critics are... Yeah, I'll say 42 for the 30, critics.
33. Audience?
I'm being a little higher. 51?
49.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Check it out.
Brandon, have any of your recommendations ever had over 50 on Rotten Tomatoes? I mean, it's interesting. You could almost have a shtick where he's like, Brandon recommends only movies that are under 50 on Rotten Tomatoes that are sleepers.
I'm not a slave to the Rotten Tomatoes numbers.
Obviously.
I look at them and I see Dave Chappelle getting what? What was he getting?
Not very good. No, I mean,
I can't remember. Wasn't he getting
it was like 30%? 60. No, was it that low? Maybe it was because he was... Because he was anti-PC?
Let's see.
Exactly.
The new one, yeah.
I think Nataro had 100.
So these 35. Anti-PC people are attacking Angels in the Outfield because they're atheists and they don't believe in God. And God, yes, assisted
attacking
and Danny Glover and
Angels
Joseph
in the
Gordon-Levitt.
Outfield.
Wait.
It's getting a better rating than it should because of the title alone.
So you're saying all the fans that watched it are anti-religion?
Yeah, all those fans.
Because don't forget, the fans gave it a terrible rating.
Yeah, they're atheists and stuff.
Then why'd they see the movie?
Have you seen it, Mark?
No.
Then you don't understand.
Maybe I'll watch it just to
I tried watching The Sandlot. I made it 30 minutes.
I made it about 30 minutes in The Sandlot.
Okay.
I mean, I understood why
I got
a child premise. Could like it.
All right. Stick to your animorphs or whatever the hell you like. Animal man.
What?
Your stupid 80s show that you love so much that had three episodes before they canceled it.
Oh, Manimal? Manimal rules, man.
Yeah.
Never. Sure, no. Nobody gave that a shot.
Uh-huh. What's its Rotten Tomato?
100%.
Fucking liar.
Did you see the celebrity death today?
Roy Head?
No, Jackie Stallone passed.
Jackie Stallone? She must be like 100.
98.
I think she had a podcast a couple years ago.
Did she?
I think so. She's still actively doing something.
I remember when I first started interning with you, we had her on, and she read my butt. That was her thing. She would read your butt and tell you.
She was a lot of fun.
So
she was.
I had to Xerox my ass and then fax it to her.
And how did the read go? What did she...
I don't remember. I just remember having to scan or copy my ass and then fax it to Jackie Stallone. And I was like, this is a great job. This is what I want to do. I'm serious.
We had her on in Phoenix a few times. She was really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And she would always say something about Sylvester that was embarrassing.
But never about Frank.
Rarely.
Hey, did Frank Stallone die? Do I remember that?
Did he?
No.
I don't think so.
That would have been huge fucking news.
Why did I kill Frank Stallone?
No, he is alive.
Well,
he's 70 years old.
Glad to hear that. We should call him.
That was so weird when he came in studio. It's like, why are you doing a promotion? I don't even remember why. What was he promoting?
I don't remember.
Was it Dickie Roberts?
Why are you Frank Stallone? What are you doing here?
Yeah. Why are you here? And he was driving himself. He did not have people. There were no people. Just him.
Well, he's Frank Stallone.
I know, but you'd think Frank Stallone. Oh, was he doing the show with other people's brothers?
That's
like
what
Travolta's brother? And
oh, yeah. It was like the Dickie Roberts, but not... Let's see.
There were like three famous people's brothers in the show, and it did not make for a good show, in my opinion. Mm. I watched it.
Mm. I just remember Norm Macdonald, though he's referencing him in the Weekend Update.
Why did he reference Frank Stallone all the time?
He was just always the punchline of like a weird story, and he's like, yeah, that's right, Frank Stallone.
He's a pretty good punchline. And yet he had that, they made that fucking song a hit because they put it in a Rocky movie. That one song, that one hit he had.
See what a good brother Sly is?
I know. And I think that Frank did not appreciate it the way he should have. Because I think at one point...
Did he eat EPA, it will cost an estimated $295 million to clean up toxic waste at the former Lockheed Martin military aircraft plant in California. The cause of the toxic waste? You guessed it, Frank Stallone.
No reason.
In Princess Anne, Maryland, state health officials have discovered what caused the mysterious death of 200,000 fish at a Somerset County fish farm. The culprit? You guessed it, Frank Stallone. In economic news, unemployment figures rose slightly for the month of October, with declines in the Dow Jones and NASDAQ. The reason for the sudden downturn? You guessed it, Frank Stallone.
Stallone. 8 minutes of that. So great.
Okay, should we play we should probably hit up on our no handcuffs.
Oh, yes.
Hope not handcuffs. Yeah. Hope not handcuffs. I really do hope that somebody gets some help.
Yeah, or if you want to be an angel, too. You know, they're still looking for people to help, you know, these addicts. Okay, here's the...
Yeah, you could be an angel in the outfield, you know?
Oh, how do you qualify to be an angel in this?
Yeah, call them. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com. Go ahead.
A lot of people have dealt with this, so, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of qualified angels out there.
I really reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin, and I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department, and I just made the split-second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me, Hope Not Handcuffs arrived, and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us help guide you to recovery. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com to learn more.
Being the expert on intervention that I am, I will say this. It is incredible when you watch an hour, well, not an hour because they have the intervention part, but the first 45 minutes of video, and they usually cover them for about a week, and then sometimes they have other stuff too, but it's always these people are just out of control. Their life is just spiraling wildly in the worst directions. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And then they go to the intervention, which would be like going to Hope Not Handcuffs, except a lot easier because you're just saying, hey, I want to help, and they get it for you, and boom, you're on your way.
You're making that decision, too.
Yeah, which is what all the people in intervention want to do, but they usually will fight it. Some people just give in. They know. But the amazing thing is when they're in the van on the way to the airport to go to intervention, and then they'll go like 90 days later, and you see the person, and it's like, oh, my God.
Different person.
They look so different. And I'm sure they go out of their way to make them up and stuff. But, I mean, they just look so much healthier because they're taking care of themselves and they're eating and they're exercising a little bit or they're walking or doing something. So
all these people screaming and yelling about the Supreme Court or stealing road signs or just arguing.
Well, that's enough to create an addict right there.
How about we focus on real issues that affect real people?
I know.
Like addiction.
I wish. I know. It seems it's always that way. Anyway, why don't we hit the outro and we'll... God, I hope we can get a hold of Cornelia Cheatham because I want to find out about this dramatic effect this election's going to have.
Yeah.
Because so far, the only people I know who say Armageddon will occur if the election goes a certain way is Trump and Biden.
I know.
I haven't really heard anybody else say that it'll be Armageddon. Although there were a lot of people saying that the country would cease to function if Trump won in 2016.
I can't hear Armageddon without thinking of, is it Richard Gere?
Is that
the safe word?
I think that was the safe word.
Yeah!
And who dropped him off at the hospital when he had the gerbil? Frank Stallone.
You guessed it. Frank Stallone. There's a new episode of ML out, too. Or will be out. Tomorrow.
Yes, and I saw you liked it. He seemed to be critiquing himself harshly, but
he was really, I think it's because he took a pounding on not wavering from a certain stance that he's always taken.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
And he just got I think Sean and I won that argument.
Oh good. Okay, it was you guys pounding him.
And then Jennings jumped in and added another vote, so he was outvoted 3-1. You'll have to listen to find out.
He was smarting so bad.
You have to listen to find out what the argument is.
Alrighty, well, we'll see you tomorrow. Everybody have a great day, and send those letters to Rolling Stone demanding a recount. Holy smokes. I'll see you tomorrow.
very, very boring. I've got to get out of this conversation. What's wrong with this horrible person? Don't you know that you can leave out some details? I do not need to know every single detail. It's been 5 minutes that I've listened to the story, and if I wanted to, I could condense it to 22 seconds. Oh no, I'm listening to a boring story. Oh no, how am I gonna get out of this? Oh my, this person is ridiculous. Who would think that anyone would want to listen to this boring story? I want to teach this person all about being concise and being a good editor. Think about it, do I really want to know every single boring detail of this horrible story? I wish the person that I was talking to would look at me and try to interpret the facial gestures that I'm making. I'm making gestures that a person makes when they are very, 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 very bored. Oh no! This story keeps on going and it's very, very boring and it's driving me crazy. Yeah, yeah, I'm listening to a boring story. It's going on and on and on.
Hello? I'd like to speak with Joe, please.
Joe?
Dildo.
John Dillon.
Dildo.
John Dildo. John Dildo. Not here.
You sure?
Positive.
Okay, thanks.
Hello?
How's Ben in?
Hello?
Ben.
What number did you want?
It's a two-bot, right?
Yes.
Let's speak to Ben, please.
Who do you want to talk to?
Ben.
Ben?
Yeah.
Anybody named Ben? Ben. No, nobody.
His last name is Mr. Dover. It's Dover, his last name is.
Who is it?
Last name is Dover.
Van Dover. Van Dover. Not here.
How about you, Ben Dover? I could fuck you.
What?
How about you, Ben Dover? I could fuck you.
Listen here, cocksucker. If you come over here, I'll bust
your nose. If I come over here, I'll bust your fucking nose.
Come on over here, you son of a bitch.
I won't even be there.
I'll be here.
Fuck.
My name is Red. Red, come on over here.
Thank you, fucking.
Come on over here,
yes.
You son of